much about. So easy. You
gotta put it in perspective. I got a bad feeling about this.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
By the way, do you know the website?
You know, I'm embarrassed. Do you know the website number? I should have it in front of me, and I don't.
All right.
I'm actually embarrassed.
I'm going to call your office directly, too, and get it later.
It is recovery...
I find it appalling that a professional photographer would violate my trust by releasing an unauthorized and inappropriate image taken in between post shots on a windy day, which I was unaware of. This should not happen in America.
Homewrecker.
And now,
when you're pushed, killing's as easy as breathing.
That's a good point. Oh, wait, no. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:31. What's happening?
What's everybody laughing at?
Not a thing.
Just
Kevin Smooth.
Cut it pretty close.
Did you? That's unusual.
Just a little bit.
I was actually whipping the little wind tunnel off the microphone, pulling it up as he started speaking.
Yeah.
With like one mic, one headphone on one ear.
Yeah, I got to stop doing that. That's not good.
It does add. It seems like you will have a heart attack at about age 50 if you keep going the way you're going. It does seem like you're causing undue stress in your life by trying to beat the clock. I mean, Kevin's life, folks, is like a constant game show. He always has to beat the clock somehow in the next challenge to get to the next minute of his life.
But at least I build in time in case I'm. Oh wait, no, I don't.
Here's my impression though of you, Kevin.
What?
You don't get really flustered about it.
I
don't really picture you sweating it and looking at the clock and going, "Oh my God, light change." I just picture you like, "All right."
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You're right. I don't.
I think it.
I mean,
maybe you're
that's
okay
true.
With it.
Maybe he's calm under pressure.
Yeah.
There's not a lot you can do once you leave the house at a certain time.
Sure.
And, you know, I don't speed. That's something I'm dead set against.
Right.
I think speeding is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong.
So that's not me. And I certainly don't run a red light when they're in the middle of the night when there's no one sitting at the light and you can't see any headlights
right.
from either direction for 2 miles.
I ever think that you do either of those
things. Right. Because that would be terrible.
Yeah.
So that doesn't happen.
By the way, we are going to take your phone calls on any topic right now. The phone lines are open. If you can hear the show, you can be part of the show at 1-800-520-1067. You can pick it up, give us a call, get on the air, and get a prize. Speaking of the wind, by the way, if you happen to be listening in Southern California, it seems like Miss California's top would be wide open right now, as windy as it is.
Yeah, she. It doesn't take much, apparently, for her.
Yeah.
So, if there's the tiniest bit of wind, she's like, oh, it's appalling.
Everything
it's
flies
appalling.
Off her body.
By the way, here's an update in case King of Mexico did not hear. I do have bacon vodka in tow. I will be bringing it to the Reedy Roast for Dave. He apparently is obsessed. He's on fire about this new bacon-flavored vodka.
Yeah, he's crazy about that. And for some reason, he really, really thinks that sounds good.
Yeah.
Bacon vodka? He's been going on a tear about it since he heard it. And to me, it doesn't seem like it's all that tasty sounding.
There are better things to mix with vodka, right?
Yeah. A million.
Yeah,
a million better things.
I would think so, too. It does seem like an odd taste combination. And I wonder if it's just it's a novelty flavor at this point that is getting a certain amount of interest because it's new, but you know there's not going to be a lot of repeat business. I don't know what it's going to end up tasting like.
We had a giant argument yesterday at lunch about that.
Mm-hmm.
Dave's like, you wouldn't want to taste it? And we said, yeah, I think I would just because it doesn't sound like those two flavors would go together, but it would be just a taste. We're not excited about it. It's not like we're going, oh, Bean, you got to get that bacon vodka. I mean, that sounds terrible.
Apparently, it's a brand new product, and it's only available in a couple of stores in a couple of states and not in California yet. So Dave thought I could get him some. So I drove down yesterday. He called the liquor store and had them put aside a bottle for me because it apparently is selling out. And I drove down yesterday and picked it up, and I guess I'm bringing it to the Weenie Roast.
Do a shot this morning. Just give it a little taste.
I don't want to open it up because I fear that it will end up somehow opening up in my luggage.
Oh, that would be awesome. And then
everything I own would smell like bacon-flavored vodka.
And then the King of Mexico would just have to suck your Oh, t-shirt. You know, I'm saying your clothing because it'll have that on it. That's all. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. You get on the air and you get a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Today it is a $25 crown card from Burger King. That's what you get.
It's a crown card.
Yes.
So that's a gift card.
Yes.
Okay.
$25 worth of free Burger King stuff.
By the way, before we take calls, I'm not sure I understood Lost last night.
Really?
I'm not positive that I have a full grasp of what's going on that TV show.
That's
you mean the show that always asks more questions than it gives answers?
Yes, that one. Yeah.
And at some point, with only one season left, it's going to have to start, oh, I don't know, wrapping up some of those many loose ends?
Yes. Everyone has a strength, and I don't think mine is understanding Lost and keeping it all straight. I'm pretty sure that is not one of the talents that I possess.
Well, I don't think there's any way for somebody who doesn't work on the show to have an understanding of even the biggest pictures at this point, because I think that's one of the things that they go out of their way to do is keep you hooked by continuing to make you come back to get more questions answered.
There were some questions answered last night in the 2-hour season finale, but not enough. I didn't understand what was going on. Although we did meet Jacob and we met a bunch of, you kind of see some, you get some answers, but Bean's right. And then you multiply the questions by 5.
I thought we'd agreed that you were just going to watch it and just enjoy it and not try to put pieces together.
That was my plan.
It's just impossible, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I bailed. I just figured
out. You missed a few episodes, right?
I'm not the guy that can figure it out. So then I bail. But then my wife watches it. So then I was like, well, I'm already kind of in, so I guess I'll watch it. So so then I kind of got back in. And then last night I made the mistake of trying to, figure it out. And
I bailed when you did. And then I didn't rejoin because I know that it's too much work. I don't want to work on my TV shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to sit back and let them flood over me.
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, oh my God.
This is Gene Simmons.
Yeah, you got to start as Gene Simmons. You can't come in as Mike.
That one was a little too much. Sorry.
just a minute. Lisa, it's Gene Simmons. You got to do the voice or something. All right, let's go to Dave. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Good morning.
What'd it do?
Have you guys heard that there's a new vodka called Bacon Vodka? It sounds really, really good.
King, we just were talking about you and your bacon vodka, but you pretending to be somebody else calling in doesn't make it a tsunami of interest in bacon vodka. It's still just you.
I'm just saying, last night on the Twitter, it was the number one searched.
Oh, man, do I hate you. Oh, I hate this.
On
is
your
what
Twitter?
No, on all of Twitter.
This is what I hate about Dave.
At Bacon Vodka, at DJ Sanchez. Search it. Check it out.
This see,
Bacon Vodka. It's going to be good.
He's just pushing his Twitter. Here's what I hate about guys like Dave. He can find support for anything he wants to find in Twitter.
Yeah.
So he can say, oh, hey, everyone's talking about it. Go ask them, not me. And he can use it as support for whatever cockamamie theories he has.
That's BS, Dave.
That's BS, Dave.
Bacon vodka.
All right.
Bacon vodka.
All right. Thank you.
Bacon.
A lot of people are playing that game with Twitter where they, like Mark Hoppus, for instance, from Blink-182, who, by the way, is going to be on the Kevin and Bean Show with the rest of the guys in the band on Monday morning. He loves to do that. He just says to his followers, let's make the number one trending topic knitting. And then, a few minutes later, knitting is the number one search topic. But it doesn't mean people are really interested in it. It's just that they're following their leader.
Yeah.
That seems silly.
Yeah. And Dave,
it is a little bit.
And Dave uses Ask the Twitterverse. That's what he says.
Oh,
the Twitterverse.
Oh.
F you. Eddie, hi. Hello, Eddie. Eddie was calling about the Angels.
I think we got some trouble with our phones today or something.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on.
Eddie, are you there? Shows he's there, but... What?
Never mind. I was saying
that's some good input. Thanks, Mike. That's great. What would I do without
him? He said 3 whole words.
So he interrupts enough that we all stop, and then he has nothing.
I was going to say, you didn't have him potted up, but I guess he dropped on his end. I apologize.
Yeah, no.
All right, let's try one more because I just want to see if these phones are working at all. Corey is on line 1. Corey, can you hear us? Can we hear you on the Kevin and Bean Show?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
All right.
Good deal.
What'd it do?
How's it going, guys?
Good. What's going on?
All right. I just wanted to see if you guys knew that the L.A. County Coroner's Office has a gift shop.
I did know
that. Oh, sure. Yeah. We've talked about that over the years. Yeah.
Did you buy some?
Okay.
Is that true of every city?
Mm-mm. No, it's not.
I don't know.
Very Hollywood of us.
What do you buy at the coroner's office?
I don't know.
The gift shop.
Like barbecue aprons that say L.A. County Coroner's got love for spare ribs and spare hands. And we've got our work cut out for us.
They've got t-shirts and jumpsuits and hats, and they've got toe tags. You can buy toe tags as one of the hot items.
Yeah, all that stuff.
I wish I had
paperweights.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, that's odd. Do they make money at it, or why do they
do
that?
Yeah, they make a lot of money.
They make money at it.
So were you actually there?
Yeah, I went there yesterday and checked it out, and it was just ridiculous.
All right, they have all those things. Why did you go there and check it out? Like, I wouldn't have even though we've talked about it on the show, I wouldn't have remembered to go look.
Well, I'm an EMT, kind of sick and twisted, and so we went there right down the street, and we're like, hey, I've always heard they've had that place, so we went and checked it out.
Okay, all right.
Because, I mean...
And what did you pick up? Which item did you have to have?
I got a T-shirt.
T-shirt.
Okay. That's all it says,
so. All right.
You gotta wonder who buys that stuff. Like, you go in to identify a loved one, and then you come out and think, ooh, I need a keychain.
Right. That is an odd choice. All right. Thank you for the calls. Let's cut our losses with that and talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, on which we're going to talk to J.J. Abrams.
What is the date today on this action-packed, star-filled Kevin and Bean show, if you know?
Thursday, the 14th of May. I see them.
Boobs. Oh, my God. Boobs.
J.J. Abrams, the man who's responsible for the misery of Lost, but also the joy of Star Trek.
That's
so we'll
correct.
Talk to him in the 7 o'clock hour.
Director of Star Trek, we're going to have him on the program. We have Aziz Ansari on the program today.
He's got an issue.
A return visit?
Yeah.
He's got a hell of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
He went to see a movie at an IMAX, and it turns out it wasn't an IMAX theater.
I back him.
But they
him
said
100%.
It was an IMAX.
That is bogus. And they charge more.
Yeah.
What's the deal? Do they have a smaller version of the IMAX now? Is that what they're pushing?
Yeah,
they advertise it as IMAX, but you don't know until you get there whether it's the mini IMAX or the full size IMAX.
Right, but isn't IMAX a size?
I thought so too. I thought that was part of it. Is the screen had to be 72 feet or whatever it is?
Well, apparently it doesn't.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to him today and find out what's going on with that. We got LaQuisha on the program today, taking a look at the Cougar, which I have not seen 1 second of, but I'm so happy to have. Her report, so
absolutely.
I don't have to watch that show. Octomom the Musical on the Kevin and Bean show today.
Wow.
It's being done, people. It's being done.
You know I love musicals, and I'm like, wow.
It's being done for reals.
There's a lot of acting jobs available if they're putting Octomom the Musical up, I'll tell you that. How many people must be in that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. All guys and her. Also, we have one of the stars of Angels and Demons, Ewan McGregor, on the program today.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
That's pretty cool.
And more tickets for you to go to the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2009. We've got your tickets coming up. And in the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to figure out what happened on Lost. That's our goal.
Okay, good luck with that.
We're going to make that happen. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beatnik.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday morning. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on with you, man?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
I miss Ralph following and recapping American Idol for us. I wanted to say that.
I'd like to say...
Blows!
I'd like to say it's very refreshing to not have that.
I'm so glad that I've got that monkey off my back.
I'm glad as well.
I was thinking last night, as I was again not watching, what did they have to do to make me not watch? How hard did they have to work to drive me away from that show? You know how much I loved that show.
Yep.
Casey and the Sunshine Band is the answer.
And Thelma Houston...
Uh-huh.
And who is the Band of Gold broad? Frida Payne.
Frida Payne, yeah.
And Ryan Seacrest all conspired against me to insist that I not watch that show any longer. Although I do admit I had the wife TiVo it so I could fast forward and grab a little Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Oh, she was on the show?
She was on last night.
She was, yeah.
Wearing a stripper's version of what Elvis Presley used to wear in concert. One of those jumpsuits.
It was Katy Perry.
All right.
What, Bean?
I was just going to say, it was Katy Perry's performance last night that made me think of you and regret that you weren't watching because I knew how much you would enjoy watching her try to contain those boobs inside the jumpsuit.
Yeah, she was wearing an Elvis Presley-style jumpsuit that was just short, cut off at the legs and just, you know, low plunging because her new song is Waking Up in Vegas. So the whole thing had like a Vegas theme to it.
Ah, gotcha.
And she looked unbelievable last night. Just diabolical.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
So it was well worth catching that little taste of it. But the rest of it, la 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 la. Stuck my fingers in my ears. I didn't give him the satisfaction. But I did find out via the news today that surprisingly, Chris Gokey was voted off.
Is that
the show last night?
Why is that surprising?
He was one of the front runners early on. He was a guy who lost his wife just weeks before the audition. You may remember that backstory.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
His wife passed away, and he was the emotional favorite and was a real strong singer. And this was a big surprise last night was he was voted out of the top three. So there's just two guys left: the gay Elvis impersonator and the pasty-faced, forgettable one. So I suggest...
Small-town Arkansas boy.
I suggest Gay Boy will be the winner.
All right.
And good on him, because he's super talented. So Adam Lambert, I think, will be our...
But yeah, not talented enough to make you tune in to watch him sing each week.
I'll watch him someplace else. I'll get his CD or something. I will find some other avenue to enjoy Adam Lambert's talents. I will not give American Idol another moment of my time. They're dead to me. As well they should be.
It's a middle finger to the fans is what it is.
That's right. Speaking of a middle finger to the fans, how about a loss last night, huh?
Oh, that was awesome.
No, it was great.
I don't know what happened.
You don't? I got a pretty good grasp on it, I think. Except, of course, what's going to happen next season, because apparently they all blew up in a hydrogen bomb. But, yeah, great show last night.
Yeah, I loved it.
And Matthew Fox, in an interesting interview with ContactMusic.com, has announced that he is in the process of becoming a pilot. Could you do that if you're on Lost?
Oh,
given
wow.
what they've even been through, just in pretend, just in make-believe?
Seems like a bad idea.
Could you get behind the wheel of your own plane and fly it?
Because wouldn't it be the ultimate middle finger to him if he went down and was on an island?
Aren't you just tempting
yes.
fate? Aren't you just giving a big F you to destiny and fate and chance?
Because that would be
all
too
the other
sweet.
Powers that be.
That would be too sweet if that happened.
Aren't you just really running a risk you don't have to run? Given commercial airlines and the fact you don't have to fly yourself.
Yeah. Yes. I love
just
it.
I think he's a brave man.
Apparently,
he is taking his equivalent of the driving test for an airplane on the 25th of this month and said he can't wait to take to the friendly skies.
So, what could go wrong with that?
What could go wrong there?
Mm-hmm.
Another person related to the Lost TV series, J.J. Abrams. I don't know if you guys have read it yet. I know we were talking to him later on the show today. But he wrote an essay in Wired magazine, which I just think it just struck such a chord with me. I thought it was just terrific. Read it yesterday. It's called The Age of Immediacy.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how technology has ruined our ability to enjoy the journey.
True.
People keep coming up to him and demanding to know how Lost is going to end. And he says, don't they realize it's watching the story unfold? It's watching the entire story that is the point of the series. It's not about how it's going to end. It's watching it up until the end.
Right, but what happens at the end?
See, you are a prime victim of that, my friend.
I want to know what happens.
We'll have to talk to him about this, but he said that true understanding has become bothersome in our lives because we feel like it impedes on our ability to get on with our lives. We're most likely to skip true understanding or learning a skill or giving real effort. Skipping ahead to something else, because we're always looking for the next thing in the age of immediacy.
Here's what I have to say to JJ.
It's a middle finger to the fans is what it is.
Stop. Man's got a point.
No.
I think that's a really astute observation. I mean, I think we're at the point now, and maybe every generation feels that life is going too fast, but it is speeding up to the point now where you can't concentrate on anything for 10 seconds anymore, it seems like.
And the next thing you know, you're getting bacon-flavored vodka.
That's where it's all headed.
That's when you know you've hit the wall.
You've hit the bottom.
When you start drinking bacon-flavored vodka, you know you've had too much information too quickly.
Yeah. And Ralph's got a pretty open mind when it comes to trying drinks. I mean, I've seen Ralph drink lots of stuff that he didn't know what it was going to be like just to see what it tasted like.
But bacon-flavored alcohol.
You've had it all, right?
Yes.
But bacon-flavored vodka, any interest?
No, because I know exactly what that's going to taste like.
Bacon and vodka.
I don't understand. That's ridiculous.
A bad option.
Yeah, those two don't mix.
No.
You could enjoy your bacon, you could enjoy your vodka. Don't put them together.
I think a lot of flavors that vodka would be better suited carrying. Bacon is not one of them.
No.
I'm not a big fan of flavored vodkas in general.
Yeah, me either.
They have the vanilla vodka and the raspberry vodka and blah, blah, blah. Just drink it. Just drink the vodka. Just drink it.
That's for the Lisa Mays of the world.
I know. Lisa Mays is going to get the bacon vodka, put Splenda in it, and half right. and half, and a stick of butter, and she's going to make her own special cocktail.
She puts a stick of butter in everything.
I know.
We are relentless.
When I'm done, it's going to taste like breakfast.
She's going to make pancakes out of it.
The cup of coffee that Lisa May has in the morning is seriously this close to a milkshake.
Yeah. It's
and there's like a
delicious.
7-page recipe, by the way, that you have to adhere to in order to make her coffee.
That is true. Yeah.
We need a team from NASA to stop by and figure out how to build her coffee.
Think of all the interns that have failed making it to the Kevin and Bean show because they can't pass the coffee test. They can do all the stuff that we need them to do for work, but they can't make her coffee the way
she
likes it.
I think it's the ultimate test. It's an important test.
And she will banish them, by the way, if they don't make it right.
Yeah.
Can I get some coffee? They're saying, no. No, you don't do it right. No, I'll wait for someone else to get coffee.
Just anyone else that happens to be coming along?
Yeah, she'll,
everyone's pretty much learned the recipe.
She'll give everyone a chance, you know.
All right.
And today is the 11th anniversary of the death of Frank Sinatra.
Okay.
So how more appropriate that Martin Scorsese has announced that he is directing a movie about the life story of Frank Sinatra.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Two great Italian-American icons.
Sure.
Joining together. He's been working on a movie about Dean Martin forever called Dino, but he has never gotten it made. But apparently this one has been greenlit, and he is going to...
He's going to start on this and never get it done?
No, this one's going to happen.
Oh, all right.
He is, he's going to highlight the important events in Frank Sinatra's life.
Sinatra's dead?
Frank Sinatra?
Yeah.
He started out the story with that.
Yeah, he passed away 11 right. years ago.
How about that?
He died on the same night that Seinfeld had its season series finale. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't remember
that.
Yeah.
Remember that God, weird coincidence?
No.
Anyway, no word yet, of course, on who's going to play Sinatra. But look, I'm a huge Sinatra fan.
Right.
I will go see this movie because I'm also a huge Martin Scorsese fan.
Right.
But I find it hard to believe that any actor will be able to play Sinatra and make you forget the actual guy, you know, whoever be able to embody that person. He was so famous and so identifiable. I think it's a really tall order to have someone play Frank Sinatra.
I agree, but then people played Nixon that did amazing jobs.
That's true. That is true.
Could happen.
I thought that way about Muhammad Ali, too, with Will Smith.
Yeah.
As good as Will Smith was, I kept saying, well, that's not Muhammad Ali. I couldn't get out of my own way in terms of how well I knew that character.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. Today's celebrity birthdays, movie producer George Lucas. He's done a couple films.
Couple?
Small independent films. He is 65 years old today. Director Robert Zemeckis turned 75. Actor Tim Roth. You guys watching Lie to Me over there on Fox?
Yes.
Love that
show.
Real
great
good series.
Show.
Real
Love
good series.
Show.
And he's great in it. 48 years old. Bean, you're not watching?
I don't watch The Lie to Me, no.
Why don't you like television, Bean?
He's more a liar than the lie-y.
It's just, you know, there's too many shows and you only have so much time.
Yeah, but you've got a lot of time, though.
Yeah, no one has more time than you.
Yeah, fill it up. C.C. DeVille, Poison, is 47 years old today. Fab from Milli Vanilli.
Oh. Yeah.
Celebrates his 43rd birthday. Bassist Mike Inez. Mike from Alice in Chains is 43 years old today. Actress Kate Blanchett celebrates her 40th birthday. Sofia Coppola is 38. Amber Tamblyn, we just spoke to her the other day. She is on The Unusuals. Was Joan of Arcadia. Of course, she's 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Of course, it is the morning after the Lost season finale last night, and there's only one more season left, and they're going to really have to work hard next year, it seems to be, to answer all the questions that have been opened up so far in this series.
Yeah, the faster they run, the more they get behind. That's what it feels like. That's what it felt like for me last night. I got to tell you, from second one, I was lost.
Oh.
What? Oh, it was great last
These
night.
These two dudes on the beach
come
out. There's a pirate ship for some reason.
Yeah, you can tell by the way they were dressed. It was hundreds of years in the past.
And here they are talking about you brought them and what's the why. And here's the first clip that where I knew I was completely lost.
Take it you here because of the ship.
I am. How did they find the island?
You'll have to ask them when they get here.
I don't have to ask. You brought them here. You're trying to prove me wrong, aren't you?
You are wrong.
Am I? They come, fight, they destroy, they corrupt. It always ends the same.
It only ends once. Anything that happens before that is just progress.
Do you have any idea how badly I want to kill you?
Yes.
One of these days, sooner or later, I'm going to find a loophole, my friend.
Well, when you do, I'll be right here.
All right, so.
Yes.
So. One of those dudes is Jacob.
Yes.
Right. And he brings people to the island so they can be killed?
This is the age-old argument about the nature of man, Kevin. Good or evil?
Right.
I wondered if we were looking at God versus Satan there, Ralph.
I think they represent those positions. I don't know if they're actually God and Satan or not.
So the idea of him bringing a ship to the island... A pirate ship, it looks like, is that they've been doing this for hundreds of years,
yes,
over
Kevin,
and over?
Yes, they keep bringing people. It's almost like a human experiment. You have to watch them on the island, see how they interact. And Jacob is hoping that their good nature will come out, and the Titus Welliver character, his name of the actor who plays that other character, obviously is counting on them being corrupt and evil.
Okay.
Which are the, which is the cast of Flight 815? Are they
what
good or evil?
Well, we don't know. It's all progress. We're still trying to find out.
Does do things only end once, and everything else is progress? Is that what
yes,
this is about?
Yes, we haven't seen the end of this experiment yet. That's what Jacob is saying.
So the people on the island, whether they're the people that we know from Lost or the generation before them or back, you know, hundreds of years, they're basically they're participants in a dogfight is all it is. And you basically are just watching and betting on who's going to win.
It's a chess game between these two supernatural powers of good and evil, and they are just merely the pawns.
Okay, so and then you throw in a few of these. I mean, you got yourself a show.
That's right.
So Sawyer is trying to understand what Jack's trying to do. In this particular episode, Jack's trying to explode a hydrogen bomb.
Right.
And Sawyer is asking why.
Let me get this straight. Jack sets off the nuke, which somehow resets everything. So Flight 815 never crashes. It just lands in L.A. safe and sound, and none of this ever happened.
Okay. Is that true or not?
That's the plan.
Right.
Daniel Faraday has come up with this plan. He had it in his journal before he died that this would keep them from ever having landed on the island because there wouldn't be that electromagnetic pulse that pulled them off course and pulled them onto the island.
But it wouldn't change that, would it?
Sure. If they in 30 years in the past, if they kept that electromagnetic energy ever from being exposed on
right.
the island, then the plane would never be pulled down.
Okay, but what would happen to the people that are on the island when the nuke goes off? They would die.
No, they would flash back to being onto the plane 30 years in the future.
How do you know
How about
that?
Everybody else? How about everybody else besides that crew?
That's a great question. How about people who weren't on Flight 815?
They're probably goners. But the Dharma people die anyway, remember? Because originally Ben poisoned them all with that toxic nerve gas.
I don't remember that at all, no. I don't remember anything about that.
Ben, when he joined the others, went back and on the behalf of the others and killed off all the Dharma people.
Okay, right. Okay, right.
So they're all goners anyway.
I think we'll take some phone calls, too, because... And then Locke and Ben hit it off and have a relationship.
Do you mind if I ask you a question? I'm a Pisces.
So they're hot and heavy, those two. They love each other.
How great
right?
was Ben last night?
They met up on Match.com, I understand.
So then, catch us up, Ralph. So Locke wants Ben to kill Jacob because...
Because Locke isn't Locke. Now we know how Locke came back to life. Because you saw what the true believers were carrying in the cargo box.
But that confused me more than it illuminated me, because we've already seen with the time travel that there can be two versions of the same person at the same time.
Yeah.
Like when Locke saw himself
right.
last week with having the conversation with Richard. So why can't one Locke be the dead guy, which was the case at that stage of his life, but the other Locke be the alive guy, which is where he is now?
Because he's not. We thought he was all along, but we found out last night he's not Locke.
Who is he?
He's Titus Welliver. He's the guy from the very beginning of the episode. He's the guy who's been looking for a loophole to be able to kill Jacob for hundreds of years. He's been looking for a loophole to be able to kill him. For whatever reason, he can't kill him himself. He has to get someone else to kill him for him, which is what he did disguised as Locke in conjunction with Ben. He came back to the island taking on the persona of Locke in order to lead the people and to finally confront and kill Jacob.
But he's not Locke?
No.
Well, people...
Because remember when he goes into the foot?
When
he goes into the giant foot, he's like, so, great to see you. Good to see you again. He's like, yeah. And he's like, why don't you... And Jacob says to Ben, why don't you leave and let me and my friend here work out our differences? And,
right.
And he says to... Ben says to Locke, you've seen him? You know him? You've seen
right.
him before? He's like, oh, yeah, we have. And the other, he's that guy. Because he says, you finally found your loophole.
Oh.
Now, I totally got that. I mean, I thought they made that pretty clear. But what confused me was this is the first time we've ever seen somebody not be who they look like.
Which
right?
is BS. Because people come back to life all the time on this island,
right.
don't they?
Right.
They come back to life
yes.
or they appear as ghosts?
I don't know.
Because we've seen Jack's father as a ghost. We've seen Walt as a ghost.
Yeah.
And he's not even dead.
Right.
I mean, they keep repeating over and over again. Claire disappeared.
Yeah.
But they keep repeating over and over again. Richard says it and Ben says it. Said, I've never seen anyone come back to life before. I've seen this island do a lot of things. I've seen this island do things that would defy explanation, but I've never seen anyone come back to life before. They all keep repeating that. Even Richard, who's been on the island for hundreds of years. Remember?
Right.
And Locke says back to him, well, I've never seen anyone age before, but it doesn't mean it can't happen. So they're all suspicious of the fact that Locke is alive.
So
again.
In your theory, then, Locke is the devil or the bad guy.
Right. The Jacob bad guy's is taking the on guy. The persona of Locke as a way to get to Jacob.
Okay, so he kills Jacob, so now bad rules.
He makes Ben kill Jacob. So now he is in control of the island, I believe, which can't be good for anybody.
No.
Here's the scene between Ben and Jacob.
Oh, so now after all this time, you've decided to stop ignoring me. 35 years I lived on this island, and all I ever heard was your name. Richard would bring me your instructions, all those slips of paper, all those lists, and I never questioned anything. I did as I was told. But when I dared to ask to see you myself, I was told, you have to wait. But when he asked to see you, he gets marched straight up here as if he was Moses. So, why him?
What was it that was so wrong with me? What about me?
Jacob says,
what about you?
That's the wrong answer.
Yeah.
That's the wrong answer.
Very biblical, all that stuff last night.
So he
stabs him.
About
the prophet demanding an audience with God, and God asking, in essence, what makes you more and above any of my other children, any of my other creatures, Ben? What makes you so special? Just because I've chosen you to lead doesn't mean that your needs and wants take precedent over everyone else's.
So Lost,
I have to take care of all of my children.
So you're telling me that Lost, the TV show, is the story of the Bible?
There are a lot of analogies, a lot of good and evil, God and Satan analogies last night, that's for sure.
I love seeing Ben, a character who has been so strong and so manipulative and so much in control for so long, really break down. And Michael Emerson, who we had on the show earlier this week, is such a brilliant actor. And you can really see how difficult it is for him to accept that he now is essentially a chump, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's a nobody, right?
Right. He's a nobody. And, you know, he realizes he's just a liar and he's just a loser. And he played it so brilliantly with the way the rage came out that he was not being taken seriously by Jacob. And it was so believable. Here's a guy who worshiped Jacob for decades, and now he can't wait to kill him, which is exactly, you know, what the fake Locke wanted him to do.
All right. Now, I thought I had a handle on that. And then we need to take a break, and then we'll take your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. But then this dude said this.
Has it occurred to any of you that your buddy's actually going to cause the thing he says he's trying to prevent? Perhaps that little nuke is the incident. So maybe the best thing to do is nothing. I'm glad you all thought this through.
Yeah. So that's just a giant, hey, you thought you know what was going on.
That's a great question, though. It's a great question to think that the hydrogen bomb may have been what, I mean, they don't know. They're just guessing, right, that it's going to work.
Right. So,
yeah, but they know that there was no hydrogen bomb exploded on the island previously when they had to set up the hatch and push the button to keep the electromagnetic energy in check all that time. That was caused by the drilling of the Dharma Initiative. So they know that much is a certainty.
Okay.
So the hydrogen bomb thing is a Hail Mary, but they know it's different from what actually happened.
So that guy was just to throw us off.
He was just speculating. Right. He was just throwing it out there.
Yeah. All right. I don't. All right.
Okay.
But we don't know. We saw the bomb go off at the end.
The bomb did go off.
Thanks to Juliet and her mighty arm and that rock she was hitting it with.
She was so upset.
Very Space Odyssey, by the way. The monkeys hitting the bones in front of the monolith. And now there's that bright flash of light and like, lost. End of season. Boom. Booyakah.
So
wear it. Wear it. That's what they're saying.
I don't know what that means.
That's what it means.
Okay.
Right in your eye.
I'll take a break and come right back.
All right. So where are we for folks who are just tuning in? We're recapping last night's Lost episode. And we've got a fake Locke who is sort of the devil.
The devil has taken the shape or whatever that representation is on the island. The evil representation called the devil.
Okay.
For simplicity's sake. Has taken on the image of Locke in order to fool Ben. The others, the island people,
right,
and to make his way to Jacob.
Okay.
Okay. We are going to get your calls if you've got good questions or, better yet, observations that you think we haven't figured out yet. We want to hear from you, too, at 1-800-520-1067. What happened to the rest of the giant statue, or does that not matter, do you think, Ralph?
The giant lizard statue or whatever the hell
yes.
it was?
Yes.
No, it looks like, to me, like the Egyptian jackal god.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like Anubis. It's got like a dog's face, but it's got like the pharaoh hat that it wears.
Right. Is it just showing the passage of time that it's there's only a foot left?
I don't know. Because Ben says, because Sun asks Ben that.
Right.
Says, what happened to us, the statue? He's like, I don't know. It's always been like that as long as I've been here.
And she said, you expect me to believe that?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Paul.
No, I don't, Sun.
Who has a theory. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
What's your theory?
The guy at the beginning of the show, Titus Welliver, the devil, as you guys were calling him.
Right.
The theory is that he's the smoke monster.
He's the smoke monster.
Right. The two entities are Jacob and the smoke monster. That Jacob's shack with the ash circle around it, the ash circle kept the smoke monster out.
Because monsters famously can't go over ash?
Well, whatever. I mean,
everyone knows that, Kevin.
What are you talking about?
There's a smoke monster to begin with.
How do you people know this?
Well, so everyone's calling that guy Smokey now when he's lost.
Who's everyone? And they're all calling him Smokey.
It's got to be the chat rooms is what you're talking about,
right? People?
Yeah. I tend to think more that the monster may be a agent of the devil rather than the devil himself.
So he says
because Ben was swayed to follow Locke and do whatever Locke said by the smoke monster in the temple,
yes,
who appeared to him as his dead daughter Alex. But Locke was outside that temple while Smokey was talking to him.
But we didn't see him outside, so he could have just changed places. And remember, the smoke monster can't appear as dead people, so he needed Locke to come back dead.
How does it appear as dead people? It appears as smoke.
No, it walks around as Chris, as Jack's dad and Echo's brother.
All right. All right, I'm lost.
And there was a specific mention of the ash that was around the that was all around. I mean, and so maybe Paul is on to something, that was some sort of way to ward off evil.
I didn't notice. It did seem like there was a break in the ash where something had gotten through. Did you notice that?
Yes.
Where it stopped. So perhaps Paul's right, and that's how the smoke monster got through to attack Jacob.
That's at the moment where I thought, that's supposed to mean something to me, but I have no idea what they're talking about.
That's a good theory.
All right, let's go to Greg. Greg has a theory on the smoke monster as well. Greg.
Well, basically, how I'm kind of seeing it, me and my girlfriend last night, thought it played out, is that the smoke monster, a.k.a. the devil or whatever, goes around the island and it scans people to see who might be worthy enough for it to take over and kill Jacob.
Okay.
Basically. And there, if you can remember, when Echo was still around, Echo actually had a run with the smoke monster, and it almost like, and Echo basically won. It tested Echo's will.
Right.
And Echo willed it off pretty much.
Yeah, he stared it down, right. And of course, he's a man of faith, right.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like the other guy was saying also, the smoke monster can take on operations as well.
Like surgeries?
Basically, in order to almost like gain, create, if you will, like, you know, smoke and mirrors to create his loophole.
Okay.
Do you understand?
But what does it mean here when you say Samuel is the smoke monster?
I guess Samuel's the name of the character that Titus Welliver plays in the beginning of that episode, right?
Yes.
Okay.
People online are calling him that also. Yeah.
I got you. Okay.
You kind of agree with what Paul was saying. I
completely agree with him, but I'm kind of going a little bit more into it.
All right.
No, sure. Good call. Thank you very much for dialing it. All right. Let's play that last piece of tape at the end of the episode, right before the hydrogen bomb went off. And this is after Jacob is stabbed by Ben, and he had something very cryptic to say before he got kicked into the fire.
Coming.
What? I can't hear you.
They're coming.
All right, that was the moment when I yelled, "Stop it!"
They're coming.
Who's they?
They are coming.
Who's coming?
They're coming.
Well, who's they?
This is it. This is it. This is it. We're gonna find out next season who they are.
Well,
because it's gonna be a battle. It'll be the minions of Satan versus God's warriors. Because Elena and her crew are obviously the true believers. They brought Locke's body to Richard to prove what was actually going on. So Richard and the others and Elena's group, they're gonna come together and they're gonna fight for their right to partay.
What does this mean when she says to Richard?
What lies in the shadow of the statue?
All right, listen.
Yes, liquidus noga suave.
I'm confused enough already. Now they got to put it in Latin or whatever that is.
I did hear it. Here's what the kids are talking about online. Of this, that it is Latin for something like that which will protect you. And it almost felt like it was asked to find out. It was some sort of a password verification to see if that person was the really who she thought he would be.
Well, apparently all of the followers of Jacob, the true warriors of Jacob, know that as sort of a passcode because she asked that of the pilot. Remember the pilot that landed the plane?
Yes,
she asked him that same question on the beach, and he didn't know the answer, and that's why he got the butt end of a rifle in his forehead.
All right, let's go to Eddie. Eddie, hi.
Yeah, Dave. When Richard Alpert says that phrase in Latin, it's mentioned it almost. It says it stands for "He who protects and saves us."
You're breaking up. Say it again.
It's "He who protects."
What's happening?
Oh, this is like the monster.
The smoke monster got him.
This is like trying to get the message out from the Rousseau's Tower in French.
Right. This is Locke saying, "I can't understand you. What are you saying?"
He might have had something very illuminating for us, but unfortunately, we will never know. All right, last question, and then we have to go to break. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up. J.J. Abrams in about 20 minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. If I recall, oftentimes between seasons, Ralph, on Lost, we got to wait like 9 months. Is this one of those deals? Is this not coming back till next year sometime?
I think fall 2010.
Fall 2000, a year from this fall.
I think so.
Are you kidding me?
I think so.
Terrific.
The king of Hollywood, J.J. Abrams, joins us coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Ralph, I know you can barely contain your excitement because you love the J.J.
Well, I just think it's great that he's a man of his word because remember I told you when I went to the Star Trek premiere, I cornered him and said, look, we'd love to have you on the show. And he said, I got so much going on, but I would love to try to come on if I can.
Yeah.
And so he's coming through for
us. A lot of people say that.
Yes, and usually
and then it gets,
run the other way.
It gets difficult.
Ignore that I ever talked to them.
Star Trek, the movie, Lost, and Fringe all under his watch right now, right? That's what he's got going on in his life.
Yeah. All the questions in my life are due to him.
That's true.
Your life would be so simple if it weren't for him.
He does keep you confused, don't he?
All right, 6:53, time for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
You know, it was great when Donald Trump said it was okay for Carrie Prejean to keep her title as Miss California.
Mm-hmm.
He said that there had been some communication problems between Carrie and the executives with the Miss California pageant.
Right.
One of which, is the executive director, is Shannon Mochler, Travis Barker's ex.
Oh, yeah.
And Trump said he was having some miscommunication, but he had met with Shannon, her co-director, and it was totally solved, and they're getting along great now.
That's good news.
Well, not as great as he thought, because Shannon quit yesterday.
Oops.
She punted out and resigned from the Miss California pageant commission, saying that I cannot with a clear conscience move forward supporting and promoting the Miss Universe organization when I no longer believe in it or the contracts I signed committing myself as a youth. So she's still cheesed off, apparently, that Carrie lied to the officials when she said she hadn't posed for nude or semi-nude photographs and then lied about it on top of lies.
It was the wind, Ralph. Mm-hmm.
It was the wind. I forgot.
It was the wind.
How in America can someone take photos of someone in between other photos when the wind is blowing on the beach and then put them out there? How can that happen in America? That's Rusky talk. That's what they do in Cuba.
She did. I don't know if you guys saw that press coverage. She did bring up her father who fought in World War II under General Patton and how he had fought for her right to say her beliefs and whatnot.
Wow.
But it seems like so many people, like Shannon Mochler is a perfect example. This doesn't have anything to do with her stance on gay marriage at all. It has to do with her being an ineligible contestant in her view by lying about those photos. Right.
Exactly. I mean, women have been stripped of their crowns for lesser lies.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And, yeah, God forbid you get loaded and dance on a table or something. You're really gone. You know, yesterday I took some heat from our listeners.
Yeah?
For my excessive Steve Zahn love.
Well, it was pretty over the top.
I do love the man.
Too much.
I do love Steve Zahn.
Yes.
But I felt much better today when I read this article about Kevin Smith, our buddy Kevin Smith, and Chris Pine, who plays Captain Kirk in the new Star Trek movie.
Okay.
Makes my love for Steve Zahn look like hate.
Is that
right?
That's
all I'm saying. Here's some things Kevin is saying about Chris Pine. That dude is astounding. To be able to involve Kirk without doing a Shatner impression, that performance is so electric and so wonderful to watch. The dude is an instant movie star. This dude is going to work forever. He's so good and effortless in his delivery. I'd watch that dude do anything. I'd watch that dude have sex with my wife at this point. He's such a good actor. So I'm just saying.
Wow. I thought he was good, too, but I don't know that I'd go that far.
Come on now. Who loves who now? That's all I'm saying.
That's a good point.
And I've tried to tell you for years, and no one would listen.
What?
Country music is the work of Satan.
You have been saying that
country
for a long time.
Country music is bad. Country music needs to be murder buttoned. And you know who agrees with me?
Who?
Cheers star John Ratzenberger.
Really?
Well, that it's decided.
That's remember, how far down you got to go to get support?
Remember Cliff Clavin?
Yes.
Yeah.
He has filed documents with the Los Angeles Superior Court asking for a restraining order against his ex-girlfriend.
Okay.
Who has made harassing and intimidating phone calls, emails, and text messages to him.
Okay.
You know why? Because she listens to country music.
How does that happen?
It's right in the legal paperwork. John claims his former partner indicated that it is common in many country western songs for women to set the cars of their former boyfriends on fire.
What?
And he is scared that she may have the capacity to perpetuate this act or similar violent conduct.
A lot of people listen to those, Carrie Underwood Before You Cheat songs, mm-hmm. or some of those Gretchen Wilson songs.
Yep.
They start, you know how women are, man. They start get an idea in their head.
But well, I tear up your slipcovers with my penknife and scratch my name in the hood of your Camaro. All those effing songs.
But she must have done something. He can't just be guessing that she listens
country
to country music.
Music.
I know, but you can't file papers based on what kind of music.
You should be able to. You should be able to arrest people who listen to country music.
It doesn't make any
because
sense.
Because I'm telling you, it's a slippery slope from Tim McGraw to murder.
Is it?
Yes.
Wow. I've not heard that anywhere else.
The fact that Dolly Parton causes rape.
Is that science?
It is. It's science.
I don't think so.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Amber Tamblyn.
Yeah.
Or Am-Tam, as I call it.
You know.
She, of course, is on The Unusual. She's on Joan. She was Joan of Arcadia. She's 26 years old today.
She's got those traveling pants, too, doesn't she, Ralph?
She sure does. I know my pants travel when I see her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Travel a couple inches. You know what I'm saying?
Like an inch.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A couple inches. On a good day, three. Cate Blanchett, very talented Oscar-winning actress, is 40 years old today.
I wouldn't give her back.
I think she's sexy.
I wouldn't.
She's
very pretty.
She's
very pretty.
She's uniquely sexy.
She is.
She's not conventionally like model sexy, but she's got a great sexy kind
she's
of
Bellworthy.
Vibe.
But
she's
Bellworthy.
She's not Bellworthy. She's not sexy Bellworthy. In any use of the word sexy.
Yes, she is. She's got a real sexy.
I think you would hit it. I think you would hit it after a couple of bacon vodkas, Kevin.
Let the record show that I am going on.
But you're in the minority here.
I don't.
In this
I hear
dissension.
You. That's why I want the record to show it, because no one else cares.
All right. Tim Roth.
Are we keeping a record?
I think we are now.
Okay,
yeah. Tim Roth is 48 years old today. Tim Roth, of course, star of Lie to Me over there in Fox, which is so great. I don't know if you saw last night's episode or
not. Taped it.
But I'll bring in some audio from it because it was all about a terrorist cell whose leader was a gentleman named Omar Khan.
Is
no
that right?
No way.
So you may want to get your hands on some audio.
How about that?
Is the time now?
Does Omar have a towel on his head?
Yeah.
Wow.
Omar Khan was the son of some terrorist, and he wasn't too pleased on last night's episode.
That's the best.
DJ Omar Khan.
He kept saying, I don't know about this Omar Khan. We need to get Omar Khan to the CIA and question him. We haven't gotten one straight answer from Omar Khan this whole time.
We've been wondering every day when we come to work if the time is now.
And apparently last
apparently
night.
It is.
Omar and his dumb haircut, period. F*** Omar. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die. F*** Omar.
Yeah. Tim Roth taught us last night the time was now.
How about that?
Yeah, it's pretty spectacular. Robert Zemeckis, very talented movie director, is 57 years old today, and movie producer, director George Lucas celebrates his 65th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph, your friend J.J. Abrams, man of his word. He told you he'd be on the show, and here he is, right?
I asked him at the premiere. I said, could you do us a solid and come on and talk about Star Trek? And he said, I will do that, and here he is.
Hey, J.J.
How's it going?
Good.
You're having a pretty good month, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
We're very excited to talk to you, and we want you to know up front that we appreciate you doing this because you must have been just spent by now.
I feel pretty good.
You do.
It's been a long month. We've been traveling around, but I'm finally back home, so I'm thrilled to be talking to you.
You've been traveling the world talking about Star Trek, right?
Yes. We've gone all over the place. It's been crazy.
Yeah. All right. We hardly know where to begin in our few minutes that we have with you, JJ, because as Kevin pointed out a few minutes ago, all the questions in our life are as a result of your little brain. You're the one who's made life so confusing. It was so simple before J.J. Abrams burst onto the scene and we got caught up in something called the Rimbaldi Project. And ever since then, we spent all of our waking hours trying to figure you out.
Now we got the pattern, and now we got all kinds of stuff because of J.J.
You guys have been the greatest. Seriously, for years, I've been so grateful to you guys.
You do what we love. So.
Yeah, we love your work.
What do you want us to do?
Now, I want to start by saying we had a great discussion last hour about the season finale of Lost. Yeah. And I almost feel like all those times that we accused you of making it up as you went along and you didn't know where it was going, we're now starting to see this good versus evil thing fall into place. And I believe that we're willing to give you the benefit of the doubt that it's going to end okay this time.
Well, I got to say, I think it's going to. And I think it's going to mostly because Damon Lindelof, who created the show with me, and Carlton Cuse, who run the show with him, those two guys are the ones who have been running the show and who, you know, got the network to agree to end it after 6 years. And they have a great plan. I think the next season is going to be an unbelievable final, you know, season for Lost. So it's the show's in their hands, and I think they're doing an extraordinary job.
Is it true that Lost doesn't come back until fall 2010?
I'm not sure what the exact date is yet, so I'd just say it and not be accurate.
Okay, we'll hope for sooner.
Do you have much time these days with all the other things you have going on to give a lot of input into the story direction of Lost, or do you just kind of set them off on their path and let them go?
Yeah, they just have been, you know, going on their own, and I check in now almost more like an audience, like you guys do. I mean, I know sort of where they've wanted to go, but the truth is that they're doing such a great job and doing it, on their own that. You know, they don't have any need for me, and it would be more annoying than anything to have me kind of call in and say, you know what, I think you should be doing. Because the truth is that since they've done that show, I went and did, you know, I did Fringe with Alex Kurtzman and Bob Morrissey, and we did Cloverfield and Star Trek, and so it's been a lot, and they've been doing an amazing job.
I think JJ lives in a giant foot, and they just come to him with torches occasionally and ask him what he thinks.
And he lets them live or not, depending on...
Exactly.
Yeah. JJ, I know we don't have much time, but what happened last night?
Oh, come on, Kevin.
What happened on Lost? Because I'm confused. Well,
Let's move on to Fringe for a minute. This is a show that we started talking about the first week, and Ralph, I know you've been rabid since the very beginning. It took some of us, me included, a few episodes to really get hooked on, but man, has that become richer and more rewarding. It seems like with every episode, you have really turned that thing into a great show, JJ.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's an interesting one because it took a little while to sort of find its rhythm, but I think the show, you know, unlike some shows that kind of, you know, start really strong, and that after five or six episodes start to kind of peter out, I think we've gone the other direction. I think we started, you know, decent, and I think we've gotten stronger as we've gone.
And you know what the key is, I think, JJ, is that there's a lot of episodic sort of procedural dramas on television right now, but the characters in this, especially the father-son relationship with the bishops, is so rich that it really, it takes it to a whole other level.
Well, I'm very excited about next season. We have, in my mind, the stories that we're telling now, it's just kind of starting to ramp up. So I'm thrilled that we, you know, got picked up, that Fringe will be on next.
Yeah, now that really we know excited. Peter's from the Bizarro world, great. Now all hell's going to break loose.
So you have to see where that goes. It's pretty cool.
All right. Fig 3 is a little motion picture that is currently number one around the world, and it's called Star Trek. Please tell me, as good as you are, that even you are surprised with how great this movie came out.
Look, I knew that we had an unbelievable cast, and I knew that we had a script that was really exciting, and enough so that even I, who were not a Star Trek fan originally, was compelled to direct it. And I was so excited about it, and I'm just thrilled that people are you know, digging the movie.
Yeah, I got to say, JJ, you always mentioned that you weren't a big Trek fan when you were young. But Orci and Kurtzman must have been, because they have written the perfect script to be able to us to allow us to enjoy the new Star Trek without losing any of our memories of beloved memories of the old Trek.
Yeah, they're both fans. Roberto Orci, one of the writers, especially, is just a huge Trek fan. So, you know, they knew all the details that I would not have known. They were the ones who were helpful, really, and Damon Lindelof as well, who produced the movie, also was really helpful in making sure that we were sort of following stuff that fans do care about. So if you are a Star Trek fan, you get rewarded a million times during the course of the film. But I had to make the movie more for people like myself who didn't really care about Star Trek, didn't really think it was for them.
Was that your biggest concern, making this movie, was that it appealed to more than just old fans?
It was for me, because that's where I come from, and I needed to, you know, make it something that I believed in. I couldn't pretend to be one of them, but at the same time, I also...
Nor would you want to be. Hey, mister.
You know what I mean?
I am now, though, and I started to fall in love with these characters, the dynamic of it. And, you know, I wanted to make a movie that was like, you know, the ride at the amusement park you have to go on. Like, you know, that had all the kind of the fun, the thrills, that was exciting. It was, you know, it was romantic. It was funny. It was scary. It just had all the elements of movies I love.
Is Leonard Nimoy going to be the new Greg Grunberg for you? You're going to have to figure out a way to shoehorn him into all your new shows and movies.
Greg, his voice is in this movie.
Have we heard that? Yeah.
Yeah, we heard about that.
Greg is still the Greg.
All right. I have one more Star Trek question for Mr. J.J. Abrams on the line on the Kevin and Bean Show here today. And that is, we were discussing this internet rumor. And by the way, I was shocked to find Star Trek fans on the internet, first of all. I didn't expect to find them there at all. But they were talking about the use of the song Sabotage in the Star Trek movie in a scene where you've got the young Captain Kirk driving down the road, and there were theories going around that that song was intentionally picked as some sort of an inside Star Trek joke about William Shatner, the original Kirk in the TV series, because he, for some reason, pronounces the word sabotage as sabotage. Any truth to that rumor at all, or are people just making it up?
It's my favorite rumor. Someone sent me a link yesterday to something about that, which I thought was so funny. I wish I could say that we were smart enough to put that song in because we wanted to make some kind of other comment. We just love that song. So there's no connection, but it's a pretty funny one.
I like the rumor because it's like you're out there and you got nothing better to do with your time than try to poke people with a stick. You know, it doesn't need
he's held a multi-million-dollar motion picture right. And he's trying to find a way to screw with Shatner.
This is not intended to be a slam against William Shatner.
Is William Shatner the question that you get asked the most when it comes to this Star Trek movie?
It was, you know, months ago before the movie came out, people were, you know, how can you make a Star Trek movie without William Shatner? And I think when you see the movie and you see that you can, and it's something that obviously, and I said this to Mr. Shatner, you know, one of the times that he and I met, which is I wish that his character had not died on screen. It's the only reason that he's not in the film.
Right. Yeah. I just love that there are people out there essentially going frame by frame as if the Star Trek movie is the Dead Sea Scrolls. Like there has to be more to it.
Well, I gotta say there are some hidden things in the movie that people have not found yet. So
you and your hidden things are going to drive me to an early grave. I was reading a thing about Wired magazine or some dude that like has to interpret the clues, and then he was using Morse code and some alternate keyboard and wiring. What the f? What's happening with you?
I was asked to guest edit an issue of Wired magazine, which was so much fun. Those guys are amazing, and the issue I think came out just great, and it has this whole puzzle that's hidden inside of it. If you know decide you want to play it, but if you don't, which is going to be the majority of people, the issue has amazing articles and some incredible art. It's a very cool issue.
Yeah, I think JJ is going to end up like William Bell. He's just going to be living in a sterile white room someplace, pushing buttons and effing with us.
Yes, I think so.
Watching us jump like monkeys.
All right, so no more Fringe for a while, no more Lost for a while. Star Trek is in theaters now. Wired magazine is on newsstands. I'm not even going to ask Mr. Abrams what he's got next. We're going to let him go back to bed, and thank you once again, JJ, for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We always appreciate your time, sir.
You guys are the greatest. I got to go make some breakfast for the kids now. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, JJ. The Weenie Roast, of course, is this Saturday, and it's going to be a little warm.
Emphasis on the roast.
A little warm.
Got to be effing me with
tiny,
this.
Tiny
it's
bit
been
warm.
So nice, like 75 for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
This weekend, the one day I got to go out into the sun, because, you know, I don't care for the sun.
Right, you hate it.
The sun is BS. I've always said it.
Yeah, you have.
F the sun.
You've said that your whole life.
100 degrees they're predicting this weekend.
If you are planning on coming to the K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2009, and why wouldn't you? You should know there's all the information you need about the times, the sets, what you can bring, what you can't bring. There's also a, this is all at krock.com, there's also a K-Rock iPhone application this year that you can download that has constant updates, schedules, and so much more. So you can get all of that information at krock.com, and we will see you Saturday, of course, broadcasting live from there all day long, too. Your chance to win those tickets are coming up. In fact, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday morning right now, and we've got tickets for you at 1-800-520-1067. If you'd like to, lick Lisa.
Can you lick Lisa? I think you'll find it's hard. But if you do lick Lisa, something hot's waiting for you.
Lick, lick Lisa, lick, lick Lisa. Lick, lick Lisa, lick, lick Lisa, lick,
hear of her vagina.
Nope.
Yep. Oh, that's the rule. It's in the song. Hate those rules.
I wrote the rules. I can break them.
who's doing the licking here this morning?
You know, Rob? I haven't licked in a long time.
You have
so
not.
I asked if I could step in and be the special guest licker today.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
I think if you're going to change the rules, you have to change the song.
Okay.
And yet, we do not have time.
Give me a couple seconds. I'll be right back.
Lisa would like the vagina in play is what she's suggesting here, Ralph. All right. Here's the way the game is played, if I remember. It's been a long time since we played. Is it we're going to ask a question on the air, and the answer is going to require a number. All the caller has to do after Lisa gives the answer is tell us whether that answer is high or lower or right on. And if they are right, they are able to lick Lisa, then they go into the drawing to win the tickets. Do I have that essentially correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's just give it a try, and I'm sure we'll figure it all out as we go. We'll just take the calls in order, and we'll start with Joyce, who is on line one. Good morning, Joyce. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to lick Lisa?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Okay. All right, listen up. Remember, Lisa answers first. Here's question number one. King Tut was discovered in 1922 by English archaeologist Howard Carter. Kings of Leon were discovered in 2001 at an RCA record label showcase. Here's your question. Burger King operates more than 11,000 restaurants in how many countries, Lisa?
Oh.
How many countries Burger King's in?
22.
22. Is the real answer higher, lower, or is that exactly right, Joyce?
Higher.
Yeah, 65 countries. Congratulations.
Wow.
You not only lick Lisa and go into the drawing, Ralph gets the opportunity to lick Lisa for reals.
Oh.
Right arm. Okay. He's warming up.
Oh.
Hey, what happened
there? That was a little nipple.
That was extended licking.
Some serious stuff going on over here.
Hey, Brenda.
Yeah.
Hi there.
Hi, Brenda.
Good morning.
All right, listen up. Here's your question. Lisa answers first. Jimmy Kimmel is some dude over on ABC. Jimmy Eat World is some band at the K-Rock Weenie Roast this Saturday. Timothy Janis is some professional competitive eater who ate how many tamales in 12 minutes?
Tamales.
How many tamales in 12 minutes?
Did she jump from Jimmy to Timmy? Is that what
I'm afraid she did.
About?
Yeah, that's what producer Alex came up with this time, yeah.
12 minutes is a while, so I'm going to say 40.
40 tamales.
All right. Is the real answer higher, lower, or is that right?
Higher.
Yeah, 71 tamales in 12 minutes. How about that?
Come on over, Ralph.
All right, nicely done. Put you in the drawing. Neck right above the shoulder.
This is good stuff.
I think it's starting to work.
Ralph's a vampire from what I saw there.
People in this drawing.
Tom, hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, good morning.
All right, Tom, listen up. Here's your question as we play Lick Lisa. Silver Sun Pickups' breakthrough single was called Lazy Eye and has sold more than 433,000 downloads. To date, in 2009, how many Ford F-150s, the number one pickup in America, have been sold?
Lisa knows her pickup trucks.
She does.
So this will be easy
to date.
This is in your wheelhouse right here, Lisa. Silver Sun Pickups, how many F-150s have been sold is the question.
Not pickups, but specifically F-150s.
300,000.
300,000. Is the real answer higher, lower, or is that right on?
I'd have to say higher.
I'd have to say no. Surprisingly, only 48,851.
What?
That is shocking.
But remember, it's only May, though. I mean, that's in the first 4 months of the year.
Oh, and everything's down pretty
to date in 2009. Yeah,
that makes sense.
I'm sorry, you do not get to lick Lisa, Ralph, and the caller unfortunately does not go into the draw.
Yes, man.
By the way, are these tickets in the pit? Did we say that?
Yes, they are in the pit nice. For Saturday. Right,
okay. Jesse. Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Lisa.
All right. Here's your question. Cage the Elephant can commonly be found in their hometown of Bowling Green, Kentucky. Lisa, of course, they're one of the great bands playing this weekend. African bull elephants commonly reside in Kenya or Botswana. Here's your question. What's the length of an African bull elephant's weenie?
Oh, see how it came back?
Elephants,
it all
weenies.
Ties in.
You need an inches, bean, or meters?
I think let's go with feet. Let's go with feet and inches in this
feet
one.
And inches. Okay.
I'm going to say 15 feet.
No, 15 feet.
You wish.
By the way, just for the record, before we move on,
I agree.
Before we move on, she put her arms out about
3 feet,
maybe 3 feet, okay. And then said 15.
I'm gonna change it to 3 feet.
No.
Time out.
15 it is.
The elephant would be pole vaulted across the Serengeti if it ever got an erection.
You know how right long the foot is.
The name Jesse.
All right, Jesse is the
Don't
real
even
answer.
Bother,
higher, lower, or the same?
Lower.
Yes. Well, yeah. I certainly hope so. Lisa's the only one I know, by the way, who an African bull elephant shows up in her bedroom with a 6-foot penis and she's disappointed.
Yeah, yeah, that's the actual answer, yeah.
Yeah, six Come feet is what we're looking for.
Wow. I don't know how I got that so wrong.
Wow.
Hello,
just,
Ralph.
Just wishing and hoping, that's how.
All I can say here is that I didn't see where Ralph went.
Yeah.
So I don't know what
All
I'm
right. All right, let's try one more contestant for Lick Lisa.
All right, Lionel, hi.
Hey, how's it going? Lisa, I need to lick you today because you haven't been nice to me the past 2 times I got through.
Wow. Sorry, Lionel.
A repeat
offender.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see how you do. Another band playing this weekend, of course, is Hollywood Undead. Their latest song, called Undead, is featured in the trailer for the new G.I. Joe movie. Since the official outbreak, according to the Center for Disease Control, Lisa, how many swine flu deaths have occurred in the United States?
In the U.S.?
Thousands, if you believe Channel 4.
I think we're only at four.
Four. Is the real answer higher, lower, or is that right on?
I think it's lower.
The right answer is three. So, lower, and you lick
Good
Lisa.
Job,
congratulations. Yeah, the 400-pound guy who just died in Washington was the third and the last one so
Here,
far.
Ralph, you do the drawing.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to give you
another
those.
Fast friends.
No one can get mad at me.
And the winner is Joyce.
First person we talked to.
Our very first caller.
Hey, Joyce.
Good job.
Thank you.
You're going to be in the pit. Congratulations. We will see you on Saturday.
I'll see you there. Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks for playing
thanks
the
for
game.
Lick, lick Lisa. Lick, lick Lisa. But
keep clear of her vagina. Hi, it's Lisa. I didn't even get a chance to wipe off, but I am going to tell you now. I'm just saying.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and frankly, I'm exhausted already, and we still have tons of shows still to come. Octomom, the musical, just after 8 o'clock this morning, and we'll talk to actor Ewan McGregor, who's in the new Angels and Demons movie. That's on the way. First, though, Kevin, I don't know why you hate the Twitter. It's so entertaining.
Oh, I like entertaining Twitter. It's just most of it isn't.
Right.
Comedian and actor Aziz Ansari is one of my favorite Twitter people that I follow. His most recent Twitter says this: I'm currently selling Affliction for Ladies at wholesale prices out of the trunk of my bright blue PT Cruiser, license plate Boner Man. So you should definitely be looking for them. But that's not why we've got him on. Aziz is in a war right now that is getting international attention, and we want to find out what the real story is. And we welcome this fine comedian and actor back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Aziz, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good.
Thanks so much for having me on the program.
Of course.
Well, I got to tell you, I know that Twitter has really taken off in the last few weeks here, but yours is the first thing that I've seen kind of blow up in a couple of days from you started Twittering it to now it's on CNN. I mean, what's going on, dude?
This is really crazy to me. I cannot believe this. You know, I guess it's like, George Clooney has, the cause in Darfur.
Right.
Leonardo DiCaprio is concerned about water in the third world.
Right. And what are you doing?
Bono has concerns about, AIDS in Africa. And I guess the cause I've taken to champion is making sure IMAX screens are as large as you expect them to be when you go to the movies and pay for an IMAX experience.
Now, I thought that IMAX equals a certain screen size, a certain digital quality, everything had to be the same, no?
Yeah, basically what happened is this. I went to go see a movie at an IMAX screen and, paid $5 more, and I expected it to be that tremendously large, 72-foot screen that, where you have to, move your neck to even see the whole screen.
That's what it is.
The Dark Knight and other things in, certain cinemas, and that's the way it is. And every time I'd seen an IMAX movie, it was like that. But I guess they have these new IMAX screens that are kind of retrofitted, versions of existing screens. And, on average, those screens are about 1,250 square feet, whereas the traditional IMAX screens are the average about 4,800 square feet. So it's, a significant difference, but
it's a quarter the size of the other IMAX screens?
From what I've read online in LF Magazine, the official journal of big screens.
Oh, you don't have to tell me. I get LF at home.
Those are where I'm getting the numbers from. that is a real thing. And, if you look on, this guy's article, there's like a diagram that kind of explains it. There's, it's a significant difference, and there's nothing kind of distinguishing the two. So when I went and saw Star Trek and IMAX, and that happened to me, I just kind of wrote about it on my website.
But you came
around like crazy, and so many people were like, hey, you know, this happened to me too. I thought I was going to see it in a huge IMAX, and it was a smaller thing. Like, what's going on?
Okay, so but you came out of the movie and you asked them for the $5 extra that you paid for the IMAX.
The IMAX surcharge.
Yeah, I was like, hey, man, you guys got to give me the $5 back, like just on principle. Like, you know, I don't need $5, but it's like, you know, on principle, I was expecting this IMAX thing, and you know, you gave me something a little different, and that's not what I expected. And
right.
They're like, well, you should have come out like before you watched the movie, and we could have given you a ticket to a different movie. It's like, oh, so I've been dying to see Star Trek, and I'm going to come back, and you're going to give me a ticket to see Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, and we're going to call it even. That's not cool, you know?
Okay,
and,
so just for the record, though, you weren't asking for the movie money back, only
no,
the
I was
surcharge.
Happy paying the $10, okay. But... You know, I didn't think it was fair to charge $5 and say I was seeing it in IMAX and it might not be the same thing.
So what was their answer? What was their answer about how the screen can be so much smaller?
Well, basically, you know, I did some research online, and when I got home, I Googled it, and, you know, basically their thing is just that, that this is a new type of, you know, they can't afford to install those tremendous screens everywhere. It's economically not feasible for them to build new buildings that can house that huge screen and everything. So they've tried to extend their brand and they're doing this, but, you know, it's just a different thing. And
but
you know, if you're someone like me who's familiar with the other one and you're expecting that, it can be a disappointment.
So any size screen can be IMAX?
Well, you know, they do have a I feel so stupid talking about this,
no,
I know, like, so much about it.
You do know too
well,
much.
Well, it's your cause. You should know.
They have an IMAX retrofitting process.
Yes.
And here is where they remove the first few rows in the, you know. It's so silly. This is all so silly to me.
But the point is this, Aziz. The point is they call it an IMAX, but it's not what we have come to know what that word means. In other words,
exactly.
it may be a better digital picture, it may be better sound, and that's fine, but it still doesn't justify unsuspecting consumers getting charged an extra $5 for something that they think is going to be the 72-foot IMAX screen. Now,
yeah,
you have basically
a lot of people that have kind of, you know, when I put this up on my website, it clearly resonated with people, and it just went around everywhere, and like,
yeah,
now it's like people think I'm some, you know, IMAX activist.
Yeah, I like
well,
that.
Well, you kind of are. There better be a hunger strike in your future is what I'm saying. Look, if Mia Farrow could do it, you could do it. Now, what are the IMAX people saying? Are they basically just saying, suck it, this is what we call IMAX and we're IMAX, so we get to decide?
No, I mean, obviously at this point, I think this has got their attention a little bit, you
right.
know, and like, you know, they've, I think they're definitely willing to hear our concerns about this. And, you know, I think, they're trying to set up something to speak with me about it. And, you know,
you lead a march to that place and burn the mother down.
Yeah, that's
no,
what you
it,
do.
It's all great. Cause, you know, the season finale of my show is this week. And I'm like, what's something I can do to, you know, get some attention to
yeah.
and recreation. And it's like, oh, maybe I'll just declare war on a publicly traded company. And
well,
make it a
you are a Twitterist. You are a Twitterist right now at this point. I got to be honest.
Oh,
by the way, Parks and Recreation, very funny show. Season finale is tonight, 8:30 on NBC. So I don't know. I mean, this doesn't seem to me like something that they're going to be able to compromise on either, unless they decide to stop calling the smaller screens IMAX. And I bet they're not willing to do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think from the article that I read that guy wrote, like, you know, some of the cinema chains, like Regal Cinemas and AMC, wanted to call those new screens IMAX Digital, so people knew not to expect the IMAX
right.
that you, you know, the traditional
I think
IMAX.
If they just give you warning,
fair,
that
you know,
would be fine.
IMAX
I think
Mini.
Like, I think there's just got to be some way to, you know, like when I went on Fandango or whatever to look at Showtimes or Google to look on Showtimes, there was nothing differentiating the
right.
The two
they should call it fake IMAX, which is what you call it. They should just call it fake IMAX. You want to buy the IMAX screen or the fake IMAX screen?
Yeah.
By the way, all theaters have bigger and smaller screens, and it
yes.
would be nice to know what size you're getting, because when you go see a Star Trek, you want to see it on a big screen. That makes
yeah,
sense.
Sure. And like, you know, if it is like what they say, the IMAX digital thing, there's still a value in that. It's like, oh, okay,
right.
well, I know it's going to be a really, it's going to be the nicest theater, you know, there, but you know, it's not gonna. You have to let people know it's
IMAX
it's not
Mini.
It's not going to be the monster screen that you're
right.
Seeing.
Exactly. All right. I think you're on the right track, and I think you've provided. Maybe you didn't mean to, but you provided an actual public service that I think is helpful.
You know, I really just can't believe how quickly this snowballed. It's so insane to me. You know.
It's crazy. Parks and Recreation, tonight at 8:30 on NBC. Aziz, you're very funny on the show. We appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Bean program to talk to us, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, buddy.
Let me tell you what I like about us.
What?
What do you got? Anything? Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean show.
That's not us. Blink, that's him.
Blink, but because he's coming on our show, though. Oh, I'm saying people who listen to Kevin and Bean, the collateral damage is they also get to hear Billy Joe.
All right.
Also, Blink 182 on Monday morning's Kevin and Bean show, and Linkin Park stops by with a brand new song from the Transformers 2 soundtrack next week as well. So how about all that for you, huh?
It's good. Yes. I don't know that I'd give us credit for that. I'm happy to be able to talk to those people, though. So, that,
dude, I'm trying to do anything for us. You know?
I know.
All right, 7:58. Octomom the musical coming up in a few minutes. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Thursday. What's happening?
Donald Trump may have said it was okay for Carrie Prejean to keep her title as Miss California. However, Shauna Mochler doesn't agree, and she has quit as one of the co-executive directors of the Miss California pageant.
I had no idea she was involved.
I didn't either.
She was a Miss California at one time.
I didn't know.
And a Miss USA, by the way.
Yeah. I cannot, with a clear conscience, move forward supporting and promoting the Miss Universe organization when I no longer believe in it or the contracts I signed committing myself as a youth. Apparently, she doesn't think that you should lie when you're Miss California. Afterwards, though, lie all you want.
Maybe she doesn't understand that Donald thought the pictures were hot.
Right.
They are lovely. I love that she's still claiming, by the way, that the wind caught her vest and ripped it open, and that's why we have new pictures of
her. That is what happened, Ralph. She says it. I believe it.
Matthew Perry was asked by Us Weekly magazine, do you miss being on Friends? And Matthew answered, as only he can. Almost sounds like Chandler. He said, do I miss the job that paid me $1 million a week?
That's funny.
Hugh Jackman's son, Oscar, has already found out how to work his way with the ladies. Hugh Jackman says his little boy often walks up to other little girls and says, hi, how are you? I just want you to know my dad is Wolverine.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's playing the fame card already.
How about that?
God bless him. And speaking of fame, Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Is actually in the news for something relating to a job.
Not partying?
Daily Variety says that she has just been cast in a new movie.
Wow.
Playing a grad student who spent the summer working on a remote island and uncovers a hidden secret left by the island's natives. Was this Lost, the movie?
What?
Woody Harrelson, Giovanni Ribisi, Dave Matthews, and Alanis Morissette will all co-star in the film.
Who doesn't fit in that group?
Interesting cast. Hmm. Dave Matthews and Alanis Morissette, by the way.
They've both been doing some acting lately.
Yeah, so interestingly enough. And speaking of acting, see DJ Omar Khan on Lie to Me last night?
Did not, no.
Yeah, actually, he wasn't on. But there was a storyline revolving terrorist activities here in the United States.
Oh, how about that?
And it turns out, now we know the truth about Omar Khan. He's actually the ringleader of a terrorist cell.
Omar Khan, the father of the second bomber.
That's right. He was the father of the second bomber.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he was.
Omar just got married. I find it hard to believe.
Really? Well, the CIA people that lie to me know how to handle Omar.
Omar Khan hasn't given you one straight answer. I'm turning him over to the CIA, and they'll do what it takes to get him to talk.
Yes,
that's
they
right.
will.
They will do what it takes.
That's right.
DJ Omar Khan.
They will take away his drugs. And he will crack immediately. No, just whatever you want.
I'll tell you what you want to know.
Was there anyone named Eric in the show last night?
Sadly, no.
That's too bad.
Yeah, Eric.
Speaking of Lie to Me, as we look at
As
we look at celebrity birthdays, Tim Roth, star of that TV series, turns 48 years old today. Robert Zemeckis turns 57. George Lucas is 65. Cate Blanchett celebrates her 40th birthday today. And Ambler Tamblyn from The Unusuals and Joan of Arcadia celebrates her 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I want the showbiz.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. If you're just waking up, you've already missed J.J. Abrams on the program today and Lisa May fantasizing about 15-feet elephant penises. I don't know what the hell was going on with that last hour, but it was
crazy. A girl can dream. That's all I'm saying.
LaQuisha coming up and Ewan McGregor from Angels and Demons coming up this hour.
All right.
First, though, everyone's favorite lady that you love to hate, the Octomom, back in the news. And it's not because of anything she's done this time. It's because Octomom the Musical is coming soon to a theater near you, especially if you happen to live in Hollywood. So let's talk to the creator of Octomom the Musical, Chris Voltaire, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Hey, guys. How's everything going?
Good. Well, thank you. How about you?
You know, we should I think I'm going to change the promotion because I was telling people that I was going to be showing the musical in Octomax.
Nice.
A big concerned Aziz is going to come by with...
just don't falsely represent it. That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just going to tell people it's going to be seen in 8D.
Okay.
That's very clever. Now, a lot of people, they see the story of the Octomom, and they want to get as far away from it as possible. Most of us would be happy to never hear another word about that woman. You have gone the other way and have decided to wallow in all things Octomom to write this show. What's going on with you?
Yeah, you know, I'm just that person. I like to swim upstream. You know what? This is a show for people who love her, who hate her, and who love to hate her.
Okay. Are there any people who love her?
You know, I think there are some out there. I mean, I you know, it was important for me to ask the actresses I was auditioning, you know, to give me two things that were inspiring, that they found inspiring about Octomom, because I didn't want an actress taking on the role who was going to be immediately judging her and, you know, branding her
but
for
Chris,
whatever this she'd been doing.
But, Chris,
we all do that.
But wait a minute. There's nothing to admire about her.
Well, she's got some chutzpah, doesn't she?
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's bad in this case. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want chutzpah when you already have kids that are special needs kids and then you want another eight. I don't think there is anything good about her.
Well, you know what? I'm an actor as well. I play a lot of bad guys on film and television. And, you know, for me, even the worst bad guys I ever play, you know, when you're an actor, you can't think that they're doing something bad. You know, every character is doing something with the best intentions, but of course those intentions are insane and warped. And
yes, but they believe it, right?
That's what the musical is about.
Mm. That's right. By the way, Kevin, one thing that you are forgetting is there are a lot of people who do admire Nadia Suleman because she chose to keep those eight babies. I mean, for some people, that was a great decision, and they're happy that she did. I mean, she, in some respects, is a face on that movement a little bit.
Are two of those people that are her special needs kids that don't get paid attention to anymore?
What story do you tell in the Octomom? Like, where do you pick up this story on stage?
You know what? The show's actually it's about Octo, but it's also about Bernie Madoff and the insanity of the economy. And it picks up at the height of 2007.
How do you mix those
Octo's
stories?
Timeline, yeah.
How do you mix those stories?
Well, you know, I with a very warped thread, with a thread that's just completely, you know, from my side, it's a triptych. So it's told in a way where you see that there is this addiction to excess and expansion.
Okay, so the part that involves the Octomom, will you take us through her having the babies? Will you have lots of little babies on stage? Will there be songs by her about that experience, or what part of it is a musical?
Yeah, it picks up where she had the twins, which was her fifth birth.
It
picks up in 2007. She has the twins, and then she's basically visited by,
the devil.
Angel or the devil, who basically says, great job. And she goes, okay, I guess, you know, I did my part of the deal. And, you know, because they said that they would help her have babies.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, but they're not letting her out of the deal.
Ah. Okay. So what's your favorite song that you've written for the Octomom in this musical?
Well, right now I just wrote a duet with the doctor in Octo. It's a love duet where right before the in vitro fertilization happens. This is a crazy show. I want people to know that this is nuts.
Okay, all right.
You know, I don't want people to go this. I don't want people to think the playwright's crazy. This is just no. It's crazy on purpose. Like so, we can all just laugh. You know, laugh your asses off.
Laugh
in a
along.
Theater on a you know in Hollywood for 1 hour.
All right,
right. What are the doctor and the Octomom singing to each other or about?
Well, you know, in this show, the doctor is madly in love with her, and so he's singing about a penetration, but she's also singing about penetration, but more with the in vitro fertilization embryos, and he's thinking something completely different.
I like that. Boy, there's no one who wants to go in there, though, I hope. I mean,
you get lost.
There's some things I want to share about the show. We have a chorus of Octo dancers. They'll be dancing in Snuggies. We have puppets. We have babies flying. We're going to try and make just madness happen within 70 minutes.
Would it help if people, when they showed up, if they were high?
You know, I'll probably have to put them, give them seatbelts.
Okay. All right.
Just to make sure they stay in the seats.
Octomom the Musical, we just found this information out. I don't know if it was just booked, but the Gleason Theater is where you're going to be in Hollywood, California. How many seats in that place?
There's 100 seats, so it's a small theater. So I recommend people get their tickets because we're probably going to sell out quick.
And I'd love to come back and share some of the songs with you guys when we have the show fully cast.
I would love to hear that. Sure. I will guarantee that our own Lisa May will be there. Believe
me. Absolutely. I'm concerned because I have a friend who wrote a musical, and it took 6 months.
To write it?
Yeah, well, I've been working nonstop, you know, so my wife can attest to that one. I was up late last night just doing more and more rewrites.
All right. Let me give out this website so that people can buy tickets if they want to. Again, the show is debuting at the end of June. It's going to be at the Gleason Theater in Hollywood, California, and it's called Octomom the Musical. And the site for tickets is octotix.com. Octotix.com. If you can't remember that, you might just remember octomomthemusical.com, which also has this same information. We are excited to see how it comes out, Chris. Thanks a lot for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk about it.
All right. Have a good one. I'll talk to you guys later.
Thank you. Right. Actor Ewan McGregor joins us in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is, of course, tempting fate and inviting God to strike him down with lightning and thunder by being in the Angels and Demons movie. So we'll find out what's going on with him in just a few minutes. First, though, we don't have time to watch everything. And one of the shows we haven't been able to see is called The Cougar. But our favorite K-Rock listener, LaQuisha, does watch it. And she joins us on the phone right now. Hey, LaQuisha.
I don't know how you're missing this show.
Well, I got to tell you, it sounds great. Don't have time for it. That's why I'm happy you watch it.
I tell you, The Cougar is like The Bachelorette. But, like, with an old lady.
Old lady, young guys.
She's 40-something, and she's got about 6 now, 20-something guys she's trying to choose from to find true love.
Sure. True love. That's how you find true love, by the way, is on a TV show.
Now, this show, as I said, is pretty much a ripoff of The Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're running out of challenges for these guys to do, because this week it was you just had to blindfold Stacey and kiss her. And whoever kissed the best would get to go on a date with her.
Wow.
It's like, really? That's like a little low rent, isn't it?
I'd like to go first if that's the case.
Yeah, and it's not very sanitary. This show ain't sanitary at all. But Stacey doesn't seem to mind one little bit.
There is nothing wrong with waking up in the morning and having 6 hot guys kiss me. Better than coffee.
Yeah, if you're a whore.
Oh, wow.
Kids name this show The Cougar Whore.
Yeah.
Cougar Whore. Well, the 6 guys kiss her, and she picks the guys she thinks kiss the best to go on a very special date. And one of them is this guy named John, and he's been winning a whole bunch of these challenges. And some of the other guys, like Travis, they're a little fed up with him winning all the time.
I cannot believe that John won. John has had the most time with Stacey, and he just thinks he's so cool because he has a job.
Yeah, you know how those people are.
He has a job.
Those employed people with their attitude. Oh, look at me. I work for a living. Looks like he smells of roses all the time.
He has a job.
So they go on this date, and Jimmy is a personal trainer who is just all buffed out and muscle, just wall-to-wall muscle.
Sure.
Especially between his ears. And he's got like a Sylvester Stallone thing going on. And they're having a quiet time on their date, and he's just getting more and more excited. He can't help himself.
When you're in a deep conversation, you start to feel things. You get these urges. I've been holding back the whole time. I just wanted to leap at her. And you start nibbling on her cheek.
All right, Jeffrey Dahmer.
What?
Wow. Wow. Easy now.
What?
He wants to nibble on a cheek.
All right, he's out.
Well, actually, he's not out.
No.
Because they're talking on this couch, and he's thinking about nibbling on her cheek, and he just goes for it. He just gets up and starts taking his clothes off.
Oh, my God.
Jimmy decided to unbutton his shirt and grab me and threw me on the bed. I absolutely love how physically aggressive Jimmy is with me.
Yeah, right.
What?
When a guy's a physical trainer and is good-looking and tan and got muscles everywhere, then a woman loves him being physically aggressive. Otherwise, it's known as rape.
Yeah, no one likes it when I'm physically aggressive, I'll tell you that.
No, my Uncle Brian did it with sexual assault, I think they called it.
That's ugly.
Yeah, but when he does it, oh, he's being aggressive. Well, Stacey has a come-to-Jesus meeting with everybody in the house. She gets all 6 guys together in the middle of the living room and says she doesn't think they're taking this seriously enough.
Mm.
Because she is looking for true love. And she gets the feeling some of these 20-something-year-old boys are just playing.
No
way. And she won't have that.
Oh. I'm not sure where your heads are at. So out of respect for me, be sincere. Because I told you, I cannot deal with
That's right. She's very emotional.
Is she crying, LaQuisha?
She was crying because because it's a very emotional situation.
Did any of the guys start laughing?
One guy.
All right. That's my favorite right there.
But the youngest boy in the house, Joe, who's like 22 years old, he took this to heart and he said, it's time for me to step up and tell this girl why I'm here and how I'm feeling. And he cornered her and got some alone time, and he just put his cards on the table.
I'm going to be real with you and just come out and say, I love you.
What?
And I think you're very powerful, you know, smart, beautiful, you know, and everything. So I think that needs to be said and everything.
So she's everything, and it needs to be said and everything.
Yeah.
And I love you and everything.
Yeah.
Well, it comes time to eliminate the contestants. Who's right. The first guy to go home?
I love you, guy.
Lover
boy.
I love you, Joe.
Yeah.
The one who took it seriously and gave her what she wanted got the big old stiletto heel boot out the ass, out the house.
Now, doesn't that kind of creep a woman out, LaQuisha? I'm sure this has happened to you where a guy you barely know all of a sudden professes this undying love for you, right?
Girlfriend was just raped by a personal trainer. Who knows what creeps her out?
Yeah, that's true.
True.
She got all kinds of rules, and I can't figure out what this girl wants.
Yeah.
Well, as I said, Joe, after he has confessed his love to her, was the first guy she threw out of the house, and I felt sort of bad for him.
Gave her my best shot, but apparently it wasn't what she was looking for, and I think that she honestly kind of made a mistake. I am mature enough, and I am ready enough for something serious.
You are, but the cook whore just wants to get raped by personal trainers.
What is like up it. With these people?
Then she throws out the guy with the hat with the job. John with the job.
Really?
His attitude for being all employed.
He's all employed
he
and whatnot.
He gets thrown out of the house. So she just left with an unemployed musician, a guy who don't talk never.
Right.
The guy who's like 12 years old, and I think he's gay.
Okay.
And then Jimmy the raper, personal trainer raper.
Dear God.
That's her choices left in the house.
Well, she's looking for true love. Those guys look like they have it.
But next week, she meets their families.
Oh.
That's a fresh take on a dating show.
Yes, yeah.
Where she gets to meet the families of the people involved.
LaQuisha, are you tired of introducing us to this show? Are you upset by now?
No, I love it.
All right.
Because I think eventually there's going to be a very special episode where she got a venereal disease.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Hopefully
Bye.
It's then.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Congratulations to Jeremy Keith, or as it says here, as it so often does, Jeremy Keith. And I can't believe that they think that name is catching on. I'm willing to bet anything I got on me that it's Jeremy from some place called Apple Valley. Just won tickets for the Weenie Roast, which is, of course, this Saturday. If you are planning on coming, you want to definitely check out krock.com for all the details on set times and what you can bring, what you can. And there is a KROQ iPhone app, too, that is continuously updating with new information as well. So all of that is available for you. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Time now, I believe, to talk to our favorite Jedi Knight.
Yeah, this is Ewan McGregor.
Heroin makes you constipated. The heroin from my last hit is fading away and the suppositories have yet to melt.
Oh!
I'm no longer constipated.
We got a Black Hawk down, we got a Black Hawk down.
I mean, you're looking at the guy that believed the commercials, you know, about be all you can be. I made coffee through Desert Storm.
Did you ever think that maybe you're not too big?
But maybe this town is just too small?
I will train Anakin.
Your apprentice, Skywalker, will be.
She was the star of the Moulin Rouge.
In the name of love. One night in the name of love.
We're going to have Ewan McGregor here in one moment. You know, I may be a lame-o, Kevin, but I never even saw The Da Vinci Code. That's how far behind I am on this stuff.
What?
Wow.
That was a huge movie.
Did you read it? Did you read the book?
I didn't read the book.
He doesn't read books.
I was afraid I'd be smited. Isn't that what God does to people who believe in the Da Vinci Code? I thought that they would take me out. I didn't know.
Da Vinci Code was about what if Jesus had a wife?
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the church was not necessarily overjoyed by that by that thought. And now this one comes back. But the original book, I think the original Angels and Demons was before.
That's right.
Yes, it was.
That's right. The
That's
other
right.
story.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about the Illuminati, which you know I love.
That stuff is fascinating.
I love the people who think that there's a dark underworld and all these people from these different, you know, universities and the most powerful people in the world are meeting in secret back rooms and they're pulling
Plotting.
The strings on society. I love that stuff.
Well, I want to ask Mr. McGregor when we get him here in a moment, because my understanding is that there is an admission that there is such thing as an Illuminati. It's just way overstated in this book, according to the official Catholic Church position, right? The movie makes it sound like it's some secret organization that went on for hundreds and hundreds of years and still is pulling strings, but I think the Catholic Church concedes only that it did exist for a short time.
Right.
And right? Isn't that the understanding?
That's just
and
what
that
you'd think
they'd
say.
And that they never went to violence. That's what they said.
That's right. Exactly what you'd think they'd say. That's why they got you, man.
Well, I know if there's a way, and I don't know how to do it, if it's a website or whatever, Kevin, but if there's a way to get into the Illuminati, you need to apply, because I definitely think I think you'd be real good at it, because you're the kind of guy I want running things. You know? All right. One of our all-time favorites back on the show with his new film again, and it's called Angels and Demons Opening Up Everywhere Tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, Ewan McGregor joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ewan, how are you, man?
I'm really good, you?
Good, well, it's always good to catch up with you. Right before we brought you on, we were discussing the Illuminati, and I don't expect you to have all the answers on this, but, I mean, it's a real thing. It is based somewhat in historical truth, right?
Somewhat, I think, yeah. I think Dan Brown took something that they were around this sect or group of science believers called the Illuminati, but he's kind of, I think, bent it slightly and blown it out of, I don't want to say all proportion, but changed it for the sake of our story.
Made it more dramatic. Right.
Is it too late for me to become a member of?
No, I think there is. After the screenings, there will be membership forms being handed out.
Excellent. Excellent.
It's kind of like, Kevin, when you're on an Alaska Airlines flight and they come down the aisle with a Visa card application. It's the same thing to join the Illuminati at these screens. Now, Ewan, you have done so many different kinds of movies. You've done the dramas, and you've done comedies, and you've done musicals, you've done action. And I know that you're looking for a role that you can respond to. But is there any part of you that thinks, I don't know, I just may want to stay away from any kind of controversy that involves the church? It's just not worth getting into. Or something like that doesn't even occur to you?
No, I mean, I think it would absolutely have occurred to me had I felt that there was something controversial about the script. There really isn't anything in it. It's not denouncing anyone's beliefs or Christian beliefs, or, you know, it's not attacking any of. It's just it's a great thriller. It's a fast old. There's a bomb ticking away in the background, and it's a good old fashioned thriller, you know. And
an
interesting world, the Vatican. If it had been. If I felt that it kind of challenged or criticized Christian belief, I don't think I would have wanted to do it. I'm not really interested in I'm not a religious person.
In
but
taking
I
on
like people's religions, you know?
Now, was the Catholic Church against the Da Vinci Code? I don't remember back then.
Yes,
they were. Okay, and this one they're saying they're not against it because it's just fiction, or what are they saying this time?
Well, it's just the Da Vinci Code. I think had some themes in it that challenged Christian belief. You know,
what if Jesus had a kid, for example?
Writings in the Bible, whereas this one it doesn't do that.
Okay, now your character is playing one of the Pope's closest aides, and that has got to be a fascinating world to do the research on, because, you know, most of us, we know very, very little about the day-to-day workings of the Vatican, and certainly the people who are that close to His Holiness. What kind of stuff did you research or learn or find out about the people in that actual position for real that was interesting to you?
I tried to find it interesting, but it's so boring.
It's not interesting at all.
Really?
They gave me a bunch of DVDs about how the Vatican works.
Right.
And they're a great cure for insomnia.
just not enough action scenes?
DVDs.
But, I mean, there are people who run the Pope's schedule. There are people who, you know, wake him up in the morning and make his breakfast. I mean, he has all these people around him, and I don't know. There's just something, because we don't see it, that seems like it must be interesting because it's so secret.
Well, I don't know exactly what goes on in there. I found out as much as I could about kind of what happens there, and but I don't know exactly what happens in the Vatican. It's the head of the
right
church, and but what actually happens in there, I don't know. I mean, what I learned about was what happens after a pope passes away, because our story starts with the pope has died.
I see.
And they're about to embark on something called conclave, which is when all the cardinals from all over the world congregate in the Vatican City, and they re-elect. They're locked into the Sistine Chapel.
Right.
And they're not allowed to come out until they've re-elected the new pope.
And that's when the white smoke comes out, or?
Oh, the white smoke, the black smoke.
Depending on the color of the Pope.
That is so fascinating, too, because, I mean, it's basically men getting together to decide who the next pope is, but then that pope kind of gets imbued with godliness. All of a sudden, now that's God's chosen person, which I've always thought is fascinating.
I know. It's extraordinary. I think afterwards they said that there's a room called, I think it's called the crying room or something, because after the cardinal who's to be pope has been elected, they take him into this room because they all break down, you know, because it's such a huge...
Really?
So they just go in there and weep?
And the ones who thought maybe they could be pope are upset? Or
they probably do.
Maybe there's a bigger weeping room.
I like that they gave you DVDs about this and you couldn't keep the interest up for about more than 4 or 5 minutes. I have trouble sleeping. Can you send those over?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Here's a clip. Tell us about your character. This is you describing basically what the Illuminati is.
Our church is at war. We are under attack from an old enemy, the Illuminati. They have struck us from within, murdering our Holy Father and threatening us all with destruction at the hands of their new God signs.
Yeah, so that doesn't seem good.
No.
The whole part of the film is the
argument of science and religion and whether the two can go hand in hand, and you know the thriller is based around the fact that the scientists at CERN and Geneva have created antimatter, and that they're calling it the God particle because
it's
an act of creation, which my character feels is completely blasphemous. And you know, if scientists are allowed to claim the act of creation, then what is left for God, and therefore is what is left for His church?
Right.
And there we go.
Ewan, a quick, I know you have to run here, but a couple of quick words about director Ron Howard and actor Tom Hanks. Had you worked with either of them before?
No, I hadn't, and I'd wanted to for a long time. I'd wanted to work with Ron. We'd spoken about doing a movie some years ago that didn't end up being made, and Tom I hadn't worked with either, so it's great. And because they've worked together, you know, 4 or 5 times already on movies, they've got a great relationship, a good friendship, and a nice working relationship that... made it very comfortable for everyone else on set.
It does seem like they're the kinds of guys who would be fun to go to work and hang out with for the day. Doesn't seem like a lot of drama. It's just people who are really good at what they do and have fun doing it.
What they do, and really easy and no drama. It was very cool. Very cool.
Awesome. All right. Angels and Demons is the movie. It opens up everywhere tomorrow. Before you go, Ewan, when's the next around the world motorcycle trip? We can't wait to watch that one again.
I don't know. Right now I'm just concentrating on my films at the moment. I feel like we did two... Long Way Round and Long Way Down we did within 3 years of each other, and I think we'll do another one, but probably a bit long. We'll wait for a bit longer, you know?
You gotta let your butt heal? I never thought I'd be asking you that question. All right.
Right, exactly. All right, Ewan, thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We always enjoy talking to you, sir.
I'm on it. Thanks very much. Take care.
Thank you, bye. By the way, Saturday, of course, is the K-Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta. You get to see the whole thing on the internet.
Oh, that's cool.
K-Rock.com. All the performances, everything.
That's what awesome. Bean would do if he could.
Awesome. Oh, I know.
He would just stay on the island and just watch the internet.
Please
cast.
Let that happen. I'll pay you if you guys can figure out a way to make that happen.
Oh, I know. It must suck going to all these great concerts.
I would take you up on it, but you're so cheap, we wouldn't make any money. Because you'd pay us, but it would be like $20 or something.
No. How much do you want? If you could talk Mr. Weatherby to let me stay home and watch it online, I'll do it.
Bean is so antisocial now that he's like, I gotta figure out a way to just phone everything.
I have to
in.
Take a 45-minute plane to work.
I don't want to see. And then on Saturday it'll be noon, and everybody will be just excited to get there. And he'll be going, I gotta go.
I'm gonna go home now. I'm gonna go back to the hotel and watch it on the internet.
It doesn't help, by the way, that it's a million people and a million degrees. Two things I hate. Oh, I hate the heat. I hate the people.
Sometimes jobs suck. Ordinarily, our job is pretty cake, and once in a while we gotta do something that's a little bit uncomfortable. Bean,
we are pretty cake.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday morning. Ahead of the showbiz beat, Ralph, I understand you've got Terminator tickets to give away.
Why, you're right. I do, Bean. I've got tickets to give away to the special K-Rock advance screening of Terminator Salvation.
Ooh.
I can't wait to see this movie. Did you see the long form commercial last night during Lost?
Yes, I did.
Damn.
It looks awesome.
We're having it at the Arclight, which is one of the coolest damn places in the world to see a movie. It's on May the 18th. It's in theaters on the 21st, but you'll get to see it earlier if you can answer my trivia question. We'll ask a little Christian Bale trivia. How about
that? Okay.
Christian Bale, of course, a star of the movie. Not only is he Batman, but now he's John Connor.
No! No!
He's that guy.
He was Patrick Bateman.
He was Patrick Bateman in American Psycho. He was one of the Newsies
He was. He was one of the swing kids.
I remember that.
A lot of people don't know he was a child actor. In fact, his very first motion picture, major motion picture, was an enormous blockbuster, big special effects epic movie. I need the name of it. 1-800-520-1067. The name of Christian's very first movie he made as a little boy.
Porky's.
1-800-520-1067 is the number. First five people with the correct answer. You win. Well, whose side would you rather be on? Diddy's or Kanye West's?
Kanye.
Yeah.
Kanye.
That's what the argument was in the other room.
Any side except for Diddy.
When I said to King of Mexico, I said, you're on Diddy's side, I'm on Kanye's side. Have you read his blog about Twitter?
No.
Apparently someone is posting tweets as a Kanye West. There's a fake Kanye West Twitter.
Oh, I'm sure he loves that.
He is not pleased. Allow me to read.
Please.
I don't have an effing Twitter. Why would I use Twitter? I only blog about 5% of what I'm up to in the first place. I'm actually slow delivering content because I'm too busy, actually busy being creative most of the time. And if I'm not, I'm just laying on the beach, I wouldn't tell the world. Everything that Twitter offers, I need less of. The people at Twitter know I don't have an effing Twitter. So for them to allow someone to pose as me and accumulate over a million names is irresponsible and deceitful to their faithful users. Repeat. The heads of Twitter knew I didn't have an effing Twitter.
Right.
It's an effing farce, and it makes me question what other so-called celebrity Twitters are actually real or fake. Hey, Twitter, take the so-called Kanye West Twitter down now. Why? Because my caps lock key is loud. He did the whole thing in capitals, the whole the whole blog. So Kanye, not a big Twitter fan.
Not a big one.
Right. Yet. Diddy, though.
Diddy. Oh, he loves it, and he loves himself.
Loves.
Yeah.
Susan Sarandon, you've seen her. Saturday Night Live, she was in the Mother Lovers video, the Justin Timberlake.
I agree.
Susan Sarandon.
I agree.
No, that ain't right.
Nope, I agree.
That ain't right.
Listen.
That ain't right.
Those go off automatically. We don't have any control.
But there has to be some sort of Hall of Fame grandfather clause for smoking hot babes who just get older. You can't control getting older. I'll get that. Phone's ringing. I mean, I think we should reserve the cast out for genuinely unbellworthy people.
I can see that.
You can't blame her just because she got older.
I can see that.
Some hot broads stay hot.
Yeah,
but that's the luck of the genetic draw. That's not really plus or minus on them. I mean, just because Raquel Welch happens to look great at 65 doesn't mean everyone can.
Is Susan Sarandon that old?
Yeah, she's in her early 60s.
All right.
She looks pretty good for her early 60s, by the way.
Yeah, I take it back then.
And she was always such a babe back in the day. So I deny you. Anyway, she's got a new bar she's opening up in New York.
Really?
It is called Spin New York.
Oh.
And it is a ping pong bar.
A what?
The bar has a giant floor on which there are several Olympic-sized ping pong tables.
Wait, King Kong's balls?
What?
Put that in the file.
Would you like to take that back?
Yes, I would. I hope that others might remember the famous joke.
Yeah.
Even if they did, that's
questionable at best.
That was a stinker.
Swinimus. So next time you're in New York, and you feel like,
playing
picking up a racket. Knocking around a little table tennis, stop by Spin New York, have a cold one, and play a little ping pong.
I can dig it.
She was inspired because she loves playing ping pong.
Right.
And she obviously thought there was a niche.
Big market for that?
There was a dearth of ping pong bars in the greater metropolitan New York City area.
Really?
Yeah.
She puts on a sports bra, though, before she plays ping pong, I hope, right? Otherwise, there could be a serious injury going on.
King Kong's balls? An answer to my trivia question?
I'm sure we do.
Andrea?
Hello?
Hello, Andrea.
Oh, my gosh. Hello?
Hello, Andrea?
Hello, Andrea?
Guys, I think we've established that you're both on the phone.
Why is she not speaking to us?
No.
I am excited. It's Empire of the Sun.
Empire of the Sun.
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
Directed that big-budget World War II epic starring little tiny baby Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Hold on. We're going to give you the details, but you're going to the special advanced screening of Terminator Salvation.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday. Speaking of Spielberg, his good buddy George Lucas celebrates a birthday today. 65 years old today. Another good director friend of Steven Spielberg's, Robert Zemeckis, is 57. Actor Tim Roth turns 48. Kate Blanchett
is 40 years old today. And Amber Tamblyn, or Amtam, as we call her around here.
We don't call her
Amtam.
That.
She is Amtam. Joan of Arc, of course, and is currently seen in The Unusuals on ABC, one of my new favorite shows. She turns 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You guys see this priest in Miami that got caught making out with a chick on the beach?
Oh, yeah. I heard
yes.
about that guy.
Father Cutie.
QDA, but the nickname is Father Cutie because he's a good-looking dude, right? And the chicks just love him. And what a burn that is to be a Catholic priest and have women just falling all yeah. over you.
Yeah, he's a Spanish-language television show host. He's got a radio show.
Really?
Super popular. And was seen over 3 days making out with a super hot chick on the beach. She was wrapping her legs around him.
Oops.
And he had his hand inside of her swimsuit.
Uh-huh.
Well, that maybe he's just enjoying God's work. I mean, did you ever look at it that way?
Be. That could be.
It was a personal blessing.
Well, we thought we would try to get a hold of Father Cutie, so we've got him on the phone now. Hi, Father.
Buenos dias, Kevin.
This is the Reverend Alberto Cutie on the line with us?
Yes.
Oh, well, thank you very much. You sound relaxed, I mean, considering the controversy with a lot of people wondering whether you're going to be able to continue to be a priest after this. If you've lost all credibility, you sound so mellow.
Life is a struggle, but I'm keeping my head up. I'm in here at my home in Miami playing la guitarra and looking at the sunset.
Oh, that's you playing?
Ah, yes.
Okay.
Sexy, no?
Well,
I
guess.
Is that what you're aiming for?
Who's that angelic voice I hear?
That's Lisa May. Yeah. She works on the show here.
Buenos dias, Lisa May.
Good afternoon.
Maybe buenas noches.
No. I hope to someday meet you in person, so I can not only hear your voice, I can experience you. In every
okay.
way.
Okay.
I think
all right,
you're
Father,
not supposed to do that.
Mm. Yeah, you should
you're
be staying.
Priest, right?
Yeah, you're a priest. Didn't you take a vow of celibacy? Aren't you the bride of Christ? Isn't that kind of part of the deal once you put on the collar?
Many moons ago.
Right.
I took a vow before Jesus Cristo to be a man
right.
of love.
Right. Okay.
But as I grew older and experienced many things, I realized the life of a sexy gigolo is not far from the life of a father in the Catholic Church.
It seems like it should be night and day. It should be completely different.
Look at it this way. Okay. For instance, I start off the life of many young women, baptizing them.
Right.
Blessing the head and face with holy oil and water.
Yeah, I think we all see where this is going.
Now, my friend.
No, please don't.
Blessing Father. Their forehead and face.
No. All right.
With my holy oil.
All right.
Oh, Father, seriously, come on.
So it's still the same then?
During the Eucharistic adoration.
Uh-huh.
I would invite many a woman up to the front of the altar, and I would give them a sip of wine to experience the blood of Christ.
Right.
Now, I force feed them a bottle of wine and hope to make love to them when they are lifeless.
Well, that doesn't seem the same, though. That's very different.
You can't do both. You can't
during
be
the redemption suffering.
Can you stop playing the guitar?
I would demand that women kneel before me and confess their sins.
Right.
Now many a night, demand that women kneel before me.
All right.
And take my deep in their...
What is going on?
Right. Listen, Father. This is the opposite of what we were hoping for. We thought
for hundreds of years, my friend. For hundreds of years. The Catholic Church has told you not to use contraception.
Right.
I hate condoms. They get f***ed up.
Okay.
Your app is good.
All right, listen.
Do you see the similarity?
Tomorrow at this time, your final shot at Weenie Roast tickets, and a little fellow by the name of Mike Tyson.
Wow.
How about that?
Not bad.
I don't know how many Weenie Roast tickets he's going to be asking for, but he can have them.
No, I don't think that's... there's a movie about him called Tyson that's very fascinating. But not all of the guests that we get pitched are that fascinating. So we brought in our producer, Alex, who's going to give us some pitches, and they're not all good.
Bad pitches for you.
Are you just trying to waste our time with your bad celebrity expert, spokesman, or public relations pitch?
Bad pitches for you.
Silly waste of time, dumb pitch.
Damn it.
All right, producer Alex, who's trying to get on the Kevin and Bean show that we've said no to?
Well, these I haven't even shown you, because if I did, you would kill me.
Yes.
Oh, boy. You guys have heard of the little engine that could, right? Really famous story.
Certainly.
Have you heard about the little bread that did?
What?
That's
the
right.
The little bread that did.
Karen Kelly Kiefer. That's right.
Nope.
She kept KKK as her name. I just want to point that out. Mike, hold on. She's the founder of Spread the Bread.
Yeah!
Spread the bread.
Spread them. Spread right. your bread. It's a global grassroots bread-giving initiative, okay, that encourages people from all walks of life to bake bread, any kind you like. That's it! That's the whole pitch. So, I bake bread. I have, by the way, a worldwide organization, and we like to bake bread.
So
Why do they care if I bake bread?
So she wants to come in and say, hey, people make bread?
Yes. And that they if you can, Spread the Bread organization would like to inspire people to bake your favorite bread to honor your local hero. If I'm going to honor my local hero, one, I'm either going to have sex with them, like a good American.
Right.
Or
right.
two, I'm going to donate money to their charity, not bread.
Hmm.
Right.
Bad pitches for you.
All right. So maybe you haven't heard, but the economy sucks.
Yes.
Maybe. So pet owners need to know how to keep their dogs healthy and handsome without breaking the bank. So Animal Planet's Groomer Has It would like their judges to come on
see, because
and give
groomer
us easy
has
tips.
It. See, because it's a play on words, wordplay.
For example, do you know how to safely trim your pet's nails?
And
do you know that there are common household items that are safe to use for grooming your pet? For example, and I'm calling BS on this, I don't even have a pet, you can use Sea Breeze astringent on your dog's hair and skin to remove dirt and oil.
What? What is that?
It's
you can
like
use a whole bottle, I guess.
That girls use on their face.
Oh, so they want to come on and say use a face cleaner to clean your dogs?
Right, because you're broke, so you can only afford Neutrogena for your pet.
Okay.
That sounds like a fascinating interview. I'm sorry we let that one slip away.
All right. That's a no.
Not so much. So you guys know what it's like to come across a bird hobbled by a broken wing. You try to take it in and make it better. I was kidding, Lisa. Oh, my God.
I did that.
Oh, my God.
I did that.
Oh, my God. I hate you.
A bird flew into my window, and I took it to the vet.
Last weenie roast, I was late because I was taking a bird to the vet.
Yeah. What, I missed a play.
What is the
you
vet?
You missed a play
what
for
does
a
the
bird?
Vet do with a broken bird?
Well, they actually gave me phone numbers for people who do. They checked it to make sure that it would actually survive,
yes.
And then they gave me numbers. Of people who save them, and then I called
they
them.
Put
and
their
they
put their little wing in a cast.
I don't know, but the
Did
guy had like 100 birds.
Okay, that tells you all you need to know.
I know,
about that
but
guy.
He needed to take that bird.
All right, Mike and Lisa both voted yes, so that tells you this is bad.
I'm out.
This woman named Susie Gilbert wrote a book called "Fly Away: How a Wild Bird Rehabber Sought Adventure and Found Her Wings."
Yes,
let me put this in our special file.
Yes,
the circular file.
Bad pitches for you.
Kevin, I'm going to ask you a couple questions, okay? Because I'm worried about you. Do you have insomnia?
Yes.
Do you have fatigue? Are you often tired?
Yes.
Do you have memory loss?
Oh, yes.
are you indecisive?
Yes.
Okay, great. You have male menopause.
What? Maybe I'm just drunk. How do they know?
Nope. The syndrome can start as early as age 30, according to Dr. William Wong, author of Maximum Male Performance.
William Wong?
Yep, William Wong can come on and talk about what is male menopause, how many men are affected, what natural remedies are there, and what minerals and enzymes should you take.
I want the birds from the last pitch to pick up Dr. Wong and kill him. That's what I want.
Peck him to death. Yeah. So if I wasn't scared enough of my own menopause, now I have to worry about guys getting it too.
Oh, dear that's God. Great.
And finally, Mike, you and I have a date on June 28th.
June 28th.
In Anaheim. We're going to be where? Barbershop Harmony Society's 71st Annual International Convention. Yeah!
Here we go!
Wait, a barbershop quartet convention?
No, the Society of Barbershop Quartets, 71st Annual. They've been doing this for 71 years. It's going to have high energy and lots of fun. It is uniquely American. Groups are coming from all over the world, and they're gathering for clinics, competitions, and good old-fashioned sing-alongs.
The only quartet that I want to hear is the one on Family Guy. That's the
that
only one
quartet.
That I'm interested in.
First of all, the Dick Van Dyke Quartet is competing.
Oh, they are good.
As are the Vantastics with an X. So you know they're badass.
So for people who listen to our show and think, wow, how did that lame guest get on? You should consider yourself lucky because it could have been any one of these bad pitches for you.
Bad pitches for you.
I work with some bad people.
Cats
That's
gotta
what's
eat
going
too,
on
man. Cats, varmints, all kinds of things. The natural order of things. That's how it works. The food chain.
We'll save that conversation for another time. Right now, Ralph joins us Thursday afternoon. Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde time for the Showbiz Beat. What you talking about, Argar?
I've been trying to tell... Oh, for f***'s sake. Come on with the camera, huh? Come on now.
Paparazzi are busy. They got a lot going on.
Every time I do this break, I use a camera sound effect. How hard is that to remember?
Dude, it's there like 40% of the time.
I know. Well, that's my point.
That's pretty good.
You know who's on my side?
On which topic?
Cliff Clavin is on my side.
Oh, wow.
That's right. Cliff Clavin.
Going all the way back to the Cheers?
Remember Cheers?
Yeah.
John Ratzenberger?
Yeah. Sure,
right. He's filed a restraining order against his ex-girlfriend. He is scared that his former girlfriend is going to turn violent against him. Why? It's right there in the court papers. Because she listens to country music. That's
what?
Why.
You've been
country
saying
music sucks.
That's right. And not only that, but it's a danger. It's a danger to everyone.
So he filed papers based on her musical taste?
Here's a quote. He says, "My ex has made harassing and intimidating phone calls, emails, and text messages to me, my family, and friends. She has indicated that it is common in many country western songs for women to set the cars of their former boyfriends on fire."
Dude.
"I am scared that she may have the capacity to perpetuate this act or similar violent conduct."
But just because a guy shoots a man in Reno just to watch him die,
see?
Doesn't mean you're going to go out and start murdering people,
see,
though. You don't necessarily do everything in the song.
That's what they suggest.
Yeah.
And if they're taking my whores off of Craigslist,
they are
out of fear,
they are,
then
the way.
They got to stop playing country music because the fair is fair.
That's a fair trade-off?
That's what I think.
All right.
Country music. Mother country
oh,
music.
Ralph.
Ralph, we can't use that language.
It is a shame you have not been able to develop an appreciation for the art form, because there's a lot of tremendously good music in that genre, Ralph.
It is a shame, Ralph.
I know you don't want to hear that, but there is.
I'm so busy. I'm too busy listening to country music. I've got a lot of things on my plate. I sure would like to listen to country music, but I'm just too busy.
It's a shame you're not an artist, too, Ralph, because that's a fine thing, too.
Shauna Mochler has quit.
Yeah.
The Miss California pageant.
She was in it? She was running?
She was one of the co-executive directors of that pageant. After Donald Trump said it was okay for Carrie Prejean, or Prejean, to come back and keep her title, Shauna said she couldn't take it anymore because she doesn't believe that you can lie and not adhere to the contract that you signed regarding that, and still keep your title. She thinks it's wrong. She takes the pageant business very serious because, you know, she was a former Miss USA herself.
That's correct, yes.
Have you heard what this broad is saying, this Carrie Prejean saying about her photo shoot with all her nipples hanging out all over the place?
Hey!
After she said,
"I find it appalling that a professional photographer would violate my trust by releasing an unauthorized and inappropriate image taken in between pose shots on a windy day, which I was unaware of."
It just reminds me of John Belushi in the Blues Brothers. When he stands up Carrie Fisher in their wedding and doesn't show up to the altar.
Right.
He goes, "But baby, there were locusts, and there were earthquakes, and I got a flat tire." Just an endless stream of excuses.
Those were, Clay, if you've seen the pictures, you probably are of the same opinion, which is that those were the posed picture.
Absolutely. She's looking right into the camera, smiling her ass off.
There's no other possibility.
Holding the vest open and pointing her tiny little boobies at the lens.
Yep, that was happening.
And I feel like it's worth mentioning, again, this isn't because of her views on gay marriage. That's not what any of this is about. That's what made the controversy initially. But this is about her being a lying liar who lies and being in direct violation with the USA pageant. That's
it's
what's
insulting.
Going on
it's insulting her condescending, outraged attitude in her voice during that press conference.
Yeah, that's the best.
"I find it hard to believe that you people with your unauthorized images in America, you would do. I would expect this in communist China. But here, how could you do this to me on a windy day?"
This should not happen in America.
That's true. Right.
That is true.
Oh, God damn it.
That's true.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you love her?
I always say that we are very fortunate in California because we have a lot of disasters.
That's true, and we are too, come to think of it.
We
are fortunate for all those disasters. Today's celebrity birthdays. George Lucas is 65 years old today. Director Robert Zemeckis celebrates his 57th birthday. Actor Tim Roth celebrates his 48th birthday today. Cate Blanchett is 40. Amber Tamblyn, or Amtam, as Kevin calls her.
I don't call her that.
On the Unusuals, and she was Joan of Arcadia as well. She's 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.